6 p.m. We're going to be doing some engineering work tonight. So we will be taking our signal down for a while. Check back with us periodically to see if we're back on the air. This should not take more than an hour. And you can always stream us at KRXA540.com. We apologize for any inconvenience. Thank you for listening to KRXA 540.
News. I'm Peter King, live at the Kennedy Space Center.
CDR, loud and clear.
Just under 37 minutes to go before Shuttle Endeavour's launch to the International Space Station. Seven astronauts are all aboard and ready. Technicians had some trouble closing it, but that's been fixed, and it's been an otherwise smooth countdown. For one crew member, this fulfills a 22-year dream. Barbara Morgan is a teacher-turned-astronaut. She was Krista McAuliffe's backup for Challenger. But as a full-fledged astronaut, her mission is different from what McAuliffe's would have been.
I am going up doing the job of an astronaut, doing the work of an astronaut. But I'm going up with a teacher's eyes, ears, heart, and mind.
And she and her crewmates are on track for launch in just about 36 minutes. I'm Peter King, live at the Kennedy Space Center. Now with more CBS News, here's Harley Carnes.
Two more days to get air and word down to six trapped Utah coal miners.
The drills are working, inching their way closer to where the miners may be trapped to deliver oxygen and water. And the underground rescue efforts are resuming. But the timeline for reaching those miners is no shorter.
It's going to be at least a week, and it could be a lot more.
The mine's co-owner Bob Murray met with the families of the miners again today.
They're getting more and more concerned, and some are distraught.
So he hoped to take two of them into the mine with him today as rescue operations resumed. Cammy McCormick, CBS News, Huntington, Utah.
Hot, energy-sapping weather all across the country. Power companies have been setting records for electricity consumption. Alabama Power's Mike Schneiderman.
If the weather keeps staying this hot, and it's actually supposed to get a little hotter, we believe it's very possible that we will break the record that we just broke in the next day or so.
No more cowboy boots for police officers in Trenton, New Jersey, not on the job. This after the slippery leather bottom of one cop's boot slipped off the brake, hit the gas pedal, he drove into a convenience store. In Montana, it isn't so much working to pull out or put out some of the wildfires there. It's finding a way to live with them. The Jocko Lakes fire may well burn into autumn. Not much people seem to be able to do about it. Red Cross spokesman David Owen says they've done well considering.
The local authorities have given them a lot of notice so that they were able to get out safely. We have only had two people that we've assisted with who've lost their homes so far, which is very tragic, but the number could be a lot larger.
Someone walked into a trucking company near Toledo, Ohio, and started shooting. Sheriff Mark Vasilishin.
Part of it took place in the building, and I believe part of it took place outside the building.
Two people shot dead. Police searched for the gunman. The Sturgis Motorcycle Rally in South Dakota, annually the nation's largest, is smaller this year. Vendors say they're seeing a lot fewer big trucks and motorhomes, which tow many of those big, beautiful motorcycles to the event. High price of gasoline is being blamed for it. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 153 points to nearly 13,658. The Nasdaq leaped 51 points today upward. This is CBS News.
And now for the bonus round. Friday multiplied by Saturday equals...
Tuesday at 2:30.
Correct. Sean's hair is 4.5 inches longer than Chad's. How tall is Chad?
5'8".
Correct. What's the new way to get movies from Netflix?
Come on, instantly on your PC.
Correct! Netflix. Now there's two ways to get movies. DVDs in the mail, fast, and instantly on your PC. In as little as 30 seconds. Netflix. It's that easy. Five movies for $5 a month.
Restrictions apply. See terms of use for start time and 5 for 5 details.
You put Monday behind you. Tuesday's done, oh no worries. Wednesday's perfect to unwind. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this summer with two new No Worries Wednesday mixed grills. Our classic grilled seafood and steak, or our bold barbecue mixed grill. Enjoy two new mixed grills.
Let's go out back tonight.
Now you can order curbside takeaway online at outback.com. Just click and pick up.
National Institutes of Health say the alarm sent up over plastics ingredient BPA was louder than it ought to have been.
Panel member Dr. Jane Adams says no definitive health effects can be linked to BPA right now.
They're just isolated effects that have raised flags that demand that we do research at this point in time.
Critic Dr. Fred Von Saul claims the panel's work was tainted by the plastics industry and that dozens of studies showing serious health effects were simply tossed out.
Just get rid of the use of this chemical. There will be a major improvement in human health.
Barry Bagnetto, CBS News, Alexandria, Virginia.
Max Yasger's farm is for sale. Freedom. Most of the farm, anyway, at Woodstock, New York, where the most famous rock concert of all time was held in 1969, is on the market. That's Richie Havens from that concert. The actual concert site's not included. It was sold some time back, but 100 acres of Max's old farm is for sale for $8 million. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Looking to get more laps from a gallon of gas? Make a pit stop for expert service at your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership during Pit Stop Savings Days. Get the Works Fuel Saver Package, a Motorcraft synthetic blend oil change, up to 5 quarts, tire rotation, and much more. Just $36.95 or less. Race in for savings to your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Hurry, Pit Stop Savings Days end soon.
Taxes and diesel vehicles extra. Disposal fee may apply. Offer ends 9907.
When you send your child to college, you don't think your savings will fund the all-pepperoni diet. But however your kid defines brain food, you know those pizzas will pay off in the end. And if you need help with financial aid, turn to CampusDoor.com. We demystify the process and offer loans for what's left. So worry less about tuition and more about the occasional veggie pizza instead. To apply for a loan, visit CampusDoor.com. Campus Door. You have the will. We have the way.
Campus Door is an equal opportunity lender. All loans are subject to credit approval.
Welcome one and all. I'm Christine Kraft, and you're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City. We are also broadcasting for the rest of this week, and then like Cinderella, I have to go for my carriage back to my lovely pumpkin on Peter B. Collins' excellent network of radio stations, and that would include stations in Portland, Oregon, in Coos Bay, Oregon, in Eureka, California, as well as the Monterey Peninsula, my old stomping ground, so we're delighted to welcome all of you as well. And I do want to say this is a Sacramento story that I'm going to talk about eventually today as time permits, but there is a report about the prime suspect in the hate crime in which the young Fijian man perceived to be gay was killed by a, there were a group of Russian Ukrainians who were spewing anti-homosexual epithets and racial epithets against Fijians, and they ended up punching this young man, Satinder Singh, who died. And there's a story today. They have now arrested one man, and they have another who is, he didn't know that he had punched the guy and killed him, but he fled the country. He had no idea. He just fled the country. And his wife is pictured, her hands are pictured in the Sacramento Bee. Her name is Tatiana Yusuk. That's the name, I guess. And her husband didn't commit a hate crime. He had no idea. So what were you doing spitting on the towels, Tatiana, of the Fijian people because you thought they were gay? What was that all about? I don't know. But there's a photograph, you may have seen it, of Dasha Yakovchuk, who is the sister-in-law of the man who was wanted. She's 17 years old, and I have to say this. Have you seen this girl? She's 17 years old. She's got on a Fredericks of Hollywood push-em-up bra and a shirt slit to her navel. This is 17, so it couldn't possibly be, you know, the evangelical folks, people, because they're real modest, you know. 17 years old, push-em-up bra, shirt slit to navel, looking more like a, can I say that word, slut, on the radio? I don't know, so maybe we should call her Dasha Yakovslut. I don't know. 17. Hey! And they had no idea, the father didn't, or the husband had no idea, Andrei Yusuk, had killed anybody. He was shocked to hear it. And that's why he fled to the Ukraine, right? And he had no idea what the results of it. He was just self-defense because that evil gay person with a skirt, apparently, threatened him. So he had to protect himself. It was self-defense. Yeah, sure. You seen their pictures in the paper, these two guys? At first I thought they were both mugshots. Turns out it's only one of them is a mugshot.
But like nice guys, don't they? Just out there barbecuing with their families. So we will talk about that at length later on in the program. It's stunning. I don't believe the wife for a second, and I think she ought to be held until she. Maybe she shouldn't be held because you can't testify against a spouse in this country. But you think Dasha with the push 'em up bra at age 17 and the shirt slit to the navel has some idea of where her brother-in-law is? Yeah, I don't know. We will talk about that later. But first, Satyam Khanna is on our live line. He is with the Center for American Progress, and we're going to talk about those darn debates last night. Hi, Satyam. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
I'm doing very well. Now, you know who's just down the street today as we speak? Barack Obama.
Oh, yeah?
Is visiting Sacramento with his full entourage of Secret Service, and he's here for a little fundraising event. The debates last night, kind of an interesting format. MSNBC, I understand they had less than 1 million viewers. Perhaps people are tiring of so many debates. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, there's certainly been a lot. Last week I attended the Yearly Coast debate in Chicago for the bloggers. And, you know, that was a pretty heated exchange, had a pretty good amount of press coverage. And I thought the coverage of this one, maybe, especially on some of the networks, was maybe a little slimmer. I think that's because I know Fox hardly covered it at all, if any.
Because it was MSNBC which isn't that surprising, and Keith Olbermann.
But I think the coverage of this one was a little smaller. I think maybe it's because of the frequency.
And I was hearing one of my colleagues on the radio just prior to my show. We have Randy Rhodes on. She played some clips from Kucinich, which were very powerful and wonderful, and saying, I'm the only one of these candidates, and this is supposedly a labor audience, right? The only one of these candidates who will, on first day of election, kick NAFTA right out of the vet. You know, that'll be the end. No more NAFTA. And none of these other candidates will say that because they're beholden to the special interests, et cetera. Do you think Kucinich gained any ground, or have we just decided that he's not telegenic enough and he's not tall enough to be president?
Well, I don't know about the height. He's taller than me, but...
Well, in that case...
I can't be president then, right?
Okay.
Well, he... Kucinich, you know, since his polling is so low, obviously, as you all know, I think he's in the position where he has the advantage to speak, to say whatever he can say anything.
Right, exactly.
Right, so he can come out really, really, really against NAFTA, obviously very much against the war in Iraq, and very much in favor of a single-payer universal healthcare system, which other candidates may not be, haven't warmed up to as of yet. But so Kucinich is an advantage yet, because I think he knows he has very little chance. You know, a lot of this is about fundraising, unfortunately, and you know, some of the bigger candidates have fundraised much more. And so Kucinich is in that sort of advantageous spot for himself. But unfortunately...
It's an advantage in the moment. It's not one with a lasting advantage.
Exactly. Advantage in the sense that he's able to speak his mind.
Right. Whereas and appeal to the left and appeal to the party's left base.
Right.
He doesn't have to appeal to... He's never going to have to appeal to the center.
No, certainly. And that's what he's trying to do. I think he's trying to... kind of challenge other candidates to take stronger positions, especially on the war and on some things on trade. But I think the interesting thing is that, you know, the labor unions, while they haven't endorsed anyone yet, you read some news reports today saying that the AFL-CIO hasn't endorsed a candidate yet. Most of them, at least based on applause, you can tell them. The AFL-CIO and the labor unions certainly have warmed up to Edwards, Obama, and Clinton as far as labor is concerned. I think that says something about their labor positions as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, didn't they support Dean in 2004?
I'm not sure. I think you're right. I think some of the big ones supported Dean. I'm not sure exactly.
We're disappointed when his campaign collapsed with no small bit of assistance from the DLC and the DNC. But in any event, maybe they feel burned once. Why support someone before the general election?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. Yeah, the DNC, of course, did have a role in that, and as far as we know, so that's pretty interesting. But I think the labor unions did warm up to Dean, but you know, I think they're going to come out strong, and certainly will be a sort of a formidable force in the election.
But I have to ask you, because Hillary Clinton apparently has as one of her top advisors a union busting personality. And I'm wondering if that gets heard by organized labor, if they look to who her, some of her closest advisors are, And she has not expressed, or this campaign advisor, by all accounts, is a union buster. Don't you think the labor unions would take that to heart, or would they say, well, she's probably going to win anyway because the party elites have decided that she's the candidate, so we have to support her?
Yeah, you know, that's her campaign advisor. I don't think that necessarily reflects, you know, what Clinton herself believes. I think Clinton herself actually has some pretty good positions on organized labor and on health care, and I think you saw that yesterday in the debate. Yeah, you know, Mark Penn is the president of this place called Burston Marsteller, which is has some clients which are some of the big businesses. So that's why the labor hasn't warmed up to some of Clinton's positions,
right?
Especially with respect to Mark Penn. And so, yeah, I think that's an interesting challenge for Clinton. How is she going to bridge the divide between, you know, some of her big donors? You heard about the Washington lobbyists, which happened last Saturday. Edward challenged her to stop taking money from Washington lobbyists.
And yeah.
So there's Clinton has a
and she said lobbyists are people too.
Yeah, I think her argument related to the lobbyists, which are the good lobbyists, which are, you know,
yes,
some of the ones for nurses and
CNA,
for social workers,
yeah,
and right. Right, exactly, which you know are certainly there. I think every organization has a lobbying group, which is, I think, is a legitimate entity. I think the problem is with some of the
other
big
special
business
interests. Yes,
right. Some of the big business, and so, you know, but you know, we have to remember that unfortunately there's no publicly funded elections right now, and so each candidate is taking money from some sort of big business or the other. I think Clinton's coming under fire publicly right now, but they're all taking money, unfortunately, from
some of
the big
business.
Edwards
made the point, you'll never see me on the cover of Fortune magazine. That was a shot.
Yeah, he did.
Even with that great hair. No, I thought, do you think he did well last night, Edwards?
Yeah, I thought so. I thought Edwards did very well, in the sense that he is, you know, he's taken the positions of being the most progressive of the top three
mm-hmm.
candidates, and you know, some of the Washington Post actually had a Chris Fazzillo, the Washington Post, had a article out today where he actually thinks Edwards did bad. He said Edwards seemed to have been forcing it. Said Edwards is using unrelated questions and trying to cast himself as a candidate of change. But I thought Edwards had some good lines. You know, he pulled this one. He said, "We can't trade our insiders for their insiders," which I thought is a good line,
mm-hmm.
And that was in relation to, you know, the big business interests. And so I think Edwards has come out as the strong progressive candidate of the top three, and I think that's why he actually has a ton of labor union support and has gotten a lot of labor union money. And so my conclusion is I think he did pretty well last night.
Okay, in about 20 seconds, because that's all the time we have left, tell me who won in your opinion. Is there a clear winner here or not?
You know, it's hard to say because, you know, each of them had their flaws. So Obama has been criticized for his hawkishness. Clinton's been criticized for her business interests, and then, you know, then Edwards. But and then of course there was Biden, who was criticized for his Pakistan thing. I don't know. You know, my personal favorite is Obama. That's just a personal thing.
Well,
and
he's here today. You should be here.
Well, I need to come out to Sacramento, but I think Obama did well, and
yeah.
I think he actually did handle the Pakistan question quite well. He said that, you know, the people who helped authorize and engineer the biggest foreign policy disaster
I
think that he turned it around himself pretty well.
And we're up against a hard break. Thank you so much for being with us. I hope you'll join us again.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Satyam Khanna from the Center for American Progress. We'll be back after this.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hi, I'm Dallas.
And I'm Ashley.
We would like to invite you to Malibu by the Sea in Monterey.
A bold new full-service salon and bronzing spa.
We specialize in color, multi-dimensional highlights, trendy cuts, and the highest quality human hair extensions.
We'd love to help you with your new look, so give us a call at 383-0807. That's 383-0807.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Tired of commuting an hour or more every day so you can make money for somebody else? Would you like to build a successful home-based business? Let Tanya Simmons show you how. Attend the CyberWise Opportunity Rally on Saturday, August 25th at 1:30 p.m. The CyberWise Opportunity Rally will be held at the Valley Center Bowl in Salinas. Call John Gaines at 831-229-2546 to reserve your place at the CyberWise Opportunity Rally. Call John Gaines now at 229-2546. That number again is 229-2546.
Yeah, we're back. I'm Christine Kraft. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC, and all of Peter B. Collins' great stations for just three more days. Our toll-free number, 877-766-1240, 877-766-1240. It's really fun hearing from many of you on my email, christine@1240talkcity.com, especially back from where I used to live down in the Monterey Peninsula and all the folks listening down there. It's great to hear from many of you again. It's really fun. I have a quick little question. It's a Sacramento-based question, but if you're in the expanded audience, you may want to comment on this, too, if you've ever seen something like this. Saturday, anybody other than some people I know see on Saturday over North Sacramento a Huey helicopter, another windy day on Saturday, Huey helicopter hovering and spraying something from an apparatus attached to, not the exhaust of the helicopter, but a whole apparatus under the helicopter, spraying something on the people. Or on the, you know, into the air, spraying something, not exhaust. Anybody else see that? Anybody know what that was? Now, is that, how could we characterize that North Sacramento area? What would be the best way? Del Paso Heights, mostly populated by people of color, perhaps? We might maybe do, and so the Huey helicopter spraying something from its underbelly, not exhaust. Anybody else see that, UH-1, Huey? Anybody know why that was going on? Oh, I don't want to think of conspiracies or anything like that. No, 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 no. But if anybody observed that, give us a call. Our local number is 766-1240, 766-1240. Also toll-free, 877-766-1240. I mentioned Barack Obama is in Sacramento today with his Secret Service contingent. There were special agents all over the place and on the rooftops. And we'll see if Obama wants to court the progressive audience. We'll see if he calls the station, because I have contacted, and they certainly contacted me, Sacramento for Obama. And we'll see if he calls into the station. The number is 766-1240 and says a word to the progressive listeners. And if he doesn't, oh, well. Okay, let's go to Arnold in Rockland on line one. Maybe a comment about the debates last night. Hi, Arnold. How are you?
I'm good, Christine. Hi. I'm a little nervous talking to you on the radio.
Come on. I discovered
your show some months ago, and I listen also to Randy Rhodes and to Stephanie Miller.
Yes.
And you guys are thoughtful and informative and entertaining, and I just love it.
Thank you.
I also bounce back and forth between AM 1380, which in Sacramento is the conservative station.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I quickly come back to you guys whenever you're on the air. But, you've been talking for a while about, say, Tinder Singh.
Yes.
And, of course, you can't help but feel bad.
And let's just say for our whole audience, because we're speaking to folks in Oregon as well as other parts of California right now, this is a situation. It was at Lake Natoma, which is a state park, I guess. And there were two groups. I just have to lay this out. I know you know all this, but our audience might not. Two groups. One group of Fijians, not Fijian Polynesian, but Fijian East Indians. Fiji is populated by several different groups. These folks are Hindu. Apparently in Fiji, it's very common for people to dance with each other, regardless of gender. It's cultural, right? So they're having a party, and all the witness accounts describe that the Fijian group is not being assaultive and horrible, but a group of Russian Ukrainians. And of course, we've had this whole history in Sacramento in the last several years of the folks in the Ukrainian Russian evangelical churches who think gay sex is a sin, and that people who practice gay sex are going to burn in hell, and they are certainly entitled to have that view. The problem is when they spit on people they think are gay, or, you know, harass them, etc. In any event, all the witnesses describe that the Russian Ukrainians when the Fijians went into the water, they would go to their towels and spit on their towels and issue anti-gay invective, etc. It was a very hostile environment. At one point, by the witness accounts, the Russian men sent their wives and children home and called for more backup, and other Russian men arrived. At that point, the question would be, what was their intent? I think most of us could apply a common-sense test to that and say, you know, probably it wasn't the most friendly intent. Probably was an intent to beat the crap out of them, to put it bluntly. And so what happened after the spitting on the towels and sending the wives and children home, the Russian men encountered the Fijian men. One of them punched Satinder Singh. He fell back, brainstem effect, and died 4 days later. The person who threw the punch, or who is the suspect in throwing the punch by witness accounts and by license plates and all of this, is Andrei Vusik, whatever, fled immediately to Russia. His wife says, oh, he didn't know that the guy had died. Oh, come on, give me a break. They have also arrested one of his compatriots, Alexander Shevchenko, who looks like a pretty tough guy. Apparently, Mr. Vusik has as his business a sort of murky business as an export auto kind of guy. And, of course, you know, there's this whole history of, a lot of autos being exported outside the U.S. to Russia and the Ukraine, and much of it illegal, as the federal court's roster will tell you, docket will tell you. So at this point, they're looking for the person who has fled to the Ukraine. His wife said her husband had no idea that the guy had died, that he didn't want to come back here because it was a hate crime, and he didn't think it was worth 25 years. You still there, Arnold? No, Arnold jumped off because Arnold didn't want me to tell the whole story. Arnold wanted to say something about it's okay to hate gays. I don't know. Maybe he did. I don't know. Arnold departed. Yeah, it's okay. You can hate anybody you want. It's a free country, by golly. But when you kill them, it's not okay, all right? And when you threaten them with the racially tinged invective or, you know, being gay is in California under the various statutes, that's a hate crime. You can't do that. You threaten to kill someone. You can't threaten to kill anybody. That's a crime in and of itself, all right? So, enough said. You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM, Talk City.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you have the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
I'm Scott Dick, the host of the Tasty Planet Show, every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., and I want to tell you about my experiences with Monterey Salinas Transit's Bus 55. I personally have taken the bus a couple of times to fly out of the San Jose Airport. What a great way to spend $8 and avoid the headaches of driving, parking, driving, and messing with the San Jose commute. Check out Bus 55 at www.mst.org. I know it works. Bus 55, Monterey to San Jose, runs three times a day. It works.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
This week on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, meet our own Indiana Jones, Glenn Plantone. He travels the world to find the best investment properties. Glenn is president of National New Builds and will be discussing some very hot investment opportunities in the great state of Tennessee. That's this week on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, your number one source for all your real estate needs. For more information, call 408-892-3376. All this and more Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
So many things like, gutting the Constitution, gutting the Fourth Amendment, and all of that. So, by the way, I am Christine Kraft. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 12 Forley. That's because our next guest is Matt Corley. So I go to 12 Forley, 1240 a.m., and all of Peter B.'s wonderful radio stations up and down California and well into Oregon. Let's talk to Matt Corley. He is also with the Center for American Progress. Hi there.
Hello.
Hey, Matt, you want to talk about FISA and this, how the Democrats folded on this bill to give the president expanded surveillance powers?
I would love to talk about that.
Go for it. You say anything you want, I'll chime in. You've got a forum, baby. Go for it.
Well, basically, in January, the president put FISA, put his illegal, warrantless wiretapping program. He finally, all of a sudden, after, you know, saying he wouldn't do it, not budging, being stubborn, once there's a Democratic Congress and there's going to be real oversight, he put it under the FISA court, which is the court since the 70s that has been set up to basically do oversight for our intelligence and to make sure, just make sure that the intelligence community is not abusing it, you know, not
abusing the civil rights of the citizens of this country by spying on them sans warrant without a court giving permission for a warrant.
Exactly. Just making sure that, you know, it's, everything's on the up and up.
Mm-hmm.
And after 9/11, President Bush kind of created a new a new program that took out the warrant aspect of it.
Yeah, just
and
the
took
warrant
out the
part,
oversight
come on.
Aspect of it.
You think
and
Bush
everything.
Has ever read the Constitution? I don't, anyway.
I think he probably skipped that part in school.
Yeah.
But anyway, so once it was finally put under the FISA court, in a secret opinion, part of it was ruled illegal. Mm-hmm. And so the Bush administration kept this secret opinion secret from many members of Congress.
That's
they didn't tell
secret.
A lot of people in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally, right before the Congress was about to go out of session, it was about to go to the August recess, they start pushing really hard to try and get it changed, you know, to rush through a bill that has their preferences in it. And there were some things that
we won't let you go to vacation unless you give us what we want.
Yeah, basically saying, you know, if you go to vacation without fixing this and terrorist attack, it's on you.
Exactly.
And really
the Democrats
ratcheting
are
up
so
the fear
scared,
monitoring.
So scared that they might be perceived as, you know, inviting terror because they refuse to gut the Fourth Amendment.
Exactly. And so, I mean, the Democrats, they offered a bill and they worked out a compromise bill with Director of National Intelligence Mike McConnell, who President Bush said was his point man on this.
Mm-hmm.
And they hashed that bill, which basically they had three major kind of, I guess, gaps or loopholes that had to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And they fixed that, or the bill that they offered. And then McConnell agrees to it, and then he goes back, and all of a sudden he comes back and says, you know, I can't agree to this. And basically from what all the Democrats are saying and what most members in Congress are saying is it basically seems like the White House told him that they couldn't accept it.
Right.
And the reason that what they wanted more was they wanted to put the oversight ability out of the hands of the court and into Alberto Gonzalez's hands.
Oh, I just trust him so much, don't you? I mean, he's so good at gutting the Constitution. Why not let the work continue under his able hand?
Exactly. You know, the very program which he is quite seems to be perjured himself about, why don't we have him give oversight to that program?
Mm-hmm. Sure. It makes perfect sense, doesn't it? It's perfect circular logic.
Oh, of course. But it's interesting. I did an interview yesterday with Representative Joe Sestak.
Yeah.
He's a 31-year veteran of the military. He did military intelligence, anti-terrorism intelligence for the Navy right after 9/11.
Yes.
And something he said to me was very interesting. He said, you know, we made the three major changes that McConnell wanted. But the issue here is that they just don't want to come to the FISA court. And to Joe Sestak, that says that's enough to tell them that they don't want to go to that. We need them to go to the FISA court because they're trying to avoid the FISA court. They're trying to avoid oversight.
And the reason they would be trying to avoid the FISA court and the reason they would be trying to avoid oversight is what they're doing is de facto unconstitutional.
Well, the one time that they got put under the FISA court, it got ruled to be unconstitutional and illegal.
Yeah.
So they're worried that they're going to get more rulings like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are literally looking to kind of cover up, well, I shouldn't say literally, but it seems quite clear that they're looking to cover up their past wrongdoings and then to open the window to do even more wrong.
Well, sure, because, yeah, they'll just keep doing it as long as nobody stops them. And the Democrats weren't willing to stop them. They and why do you think the Democrats didn't say, okay, we'll stay here through our vacations then? This is more important, the gutting of the Constitution and our vacation, kind of weighing the two. We're going to stay here, and we're going to keep fighting back. We're not going to give you what you want.
Unfortunately, I think they made a wrong political calculation, saying, you know, we don't want to be seen as a do-nothing Congress, and also we don't want them to try and attack us for not trying to fix this. But they had they could have come out so strong and saying, I'm sorry, the American public doesn't trust Alberto Gonzalez.
Right.
Most Republican members of Congress don't trust Alberto Gonzalez.
And why should we?
Exactly. And why should we let him set the guidelines for who and how American citizens or
Americans can be listened into on their phones and emails.
Now, most people, if you just stopped Joe Public, Joe Q Public, or Jill Q Public on the street and said, you know, the government has expanded surveillance wiretap abilities now, they would say, well, I don't care. Anything I'm talking about is nothing that I'm not doing anything wrong. Why do I care? If it helps stop terrorists, well, so be it. Some of those folks may not be too schooled in the Bill of Rights, but nonetheless, that might be the opinion on the street. What does this bill enable the government to do now that they couldn't do before?
Well, it changes the definitions of a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it says that the sole authority to authorize warrantless surveillance is now the Attorney General. And it changes the definition of they just have to have a reasonable, they must reasonably believe that who they listen to is outside of the United States.
And they could ask Michael Chertoff, just ask him how his gut feels about it. That might be the test.
Well, you know, with this administration, that seems to pass for reasonable belief.
Yes.
But they changed the definition of electronic surveillance even. So if you're listening to two people outside the country, that's not electronic surveillance. And it's just, they're literally rewriting things that, as Sestak also said yesterday, that people in intelligence, there's no one-armed people because it's all on the one hand, on the other hand.
Yeah.
And in a war atmosphere where the intelligence people are acting in a war atmosphere, they're going to be willing or more likely to push the envelope or cross over lines. And basically what's happening now, we're just, you know, taking away all our safeguards.
But they hate us for our freedoms. Didn't you know that?
And that's why we're taking away the freedoms.
Yeah, so they won't hate us anymore because we won't have any more freedoms because...
And then they won't hit us. It's perfect logic.
Ooh, I like this. This is great. So if I'm Sam at home and I have a computer glitch, which doesn't happen often, but, you know, at least once a week, and I have to call tech support in, I don't know, India, or I want to call Washington Mutual and get the balance on my bank account, typically those calls are picked up in countries not the U.S. The government can listen to that phone call, can't they?
Well, conceivably they're keeping it so secret that we don't know exactly what we're doing, what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
But they're basically creating all these things that were inconceivable before
mm-hmm.
are now conceivable and possible.
So what can we do as consumers, in your view, Matt Corley? Or do you have can we do anything kind of spunky and be kind of like bad kids and kind of mess things up by being, what can we do? On a certain day, Al-Qaeda on our telephones and see what happens? I don't know.
You know, just start calling random people in Afghanistan. See who comes knocking at your door.
Ooh, wait, that'd be something. That might be kind of a new game show, see who comes knocking, and you could have... I've got friends in Iran. Oh, my God, I just said that on the radio.
I'm sure they're monitoring this show as well, so...
Oh, they always have been.
Watch
who we call. I'm talking to Matt Corley at the... So is there anything we can do just to put a bug... You know, because Americans always have a sense of fun. Is there anything we can do that's kind of fun that gives them all a bad time?
Well, I mean, I think you can... There's some of the Democrats that said that they want to revisit this
after their vacations.
So I think people could get maybe creative in how they want to... let their representatives know that this is important to them and that they should fix what has been done here.
Mm-hmm.
And I trust in the American people and being creative people and figuring out some very interesting ways to make their opinions known.
So on September 10th, when we all get together at the same time and use our phones to all say Al-Qaeda at least 10 times and then hang up, no. Let's see, what else could we do? I'm just trying to... Now, isn't it true also that this bill extends protections against litigation for the private companies, the telecom companies?
I believe so, and I believe it's retroactive as well.
Oh.
So, you know, anything that has happened in the past, which is interesting because now the only people who can... or the only non-government people who can kind of buck this or say... can bring this into court are now the telecoms and them resisting. Individuals, if I think I'm being monitored...
You have no standing.
I have no right, basically, to try and bring that to court to find out.
Well, gosh. And so we should just generally assume that anything we say on the telephone, be it a cell phone or otherwise, there is a chance, if not a likelihood, that that's being data mined.
I mean, I'd say, yeah, probably not a likelihood, but now the Pandora's box is being opened.
And so anything could be true. So if you're on a radio show that's on a progressive radio station and you call people like Matt Corley, probably your phone conversations. Do you ever think that your phone conversations are being bugged or your email traffic?
Oh, it's all assumed.
Yeah, I think so.
Sorry, I only write very nice things.
Of course, just wonderful, sweet things. Well, I like your theory that, you know, when I said they hate us for our freedoms, so the president is wisely going to eradicate all of our freedoms, and then those enemies of this country will no longer hate us. Because we won't have any freedoms to be desired, and all will be well.
It's the theory of winning their hearts and minds by closing our hearts and minds.
And we're going to end on that note. Thank you very much, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Okay, that's Matt Corley from the Center for American Progress. When we come back, I want to tell you what Mitt Romney had to say. He's got, I think it's five sons? Yes, sirree, five sons. And none of them feels compelled to serve his country in the United States military. My gosh, who knew? And they're all of military age. His five sons range in age from 26 to 37. They've had all kinds of interesting jobs. They've worked in real estate as real estate developers, sports marketers, advertising executives. And their father, Mitt Romney, says, it's a fair question to ask why my sons aren't serving the country's cause over in Iraq and over in Afghanistan. It's because, well, they're showing great support for our nation in another way. How are they showing great support for our nation? I remember Mitt Romney is a candidate who supports the war on terror in Iraq, thinks the surge is a good idea and all of that. Not good enough to send his own sons or to inspire them with his support for the war on terror that perhaps they should go serve their country. No, no, no. He says, don't look at my sons, please, all five of my adult sons. Says they've made decisions about their careers, and they've chosen not to serve in the military. And I respect their decision in that regard. Support the troops, baby. You know how he says they're supporting the nation? By golly, one of the ways my sons are showing support for our nation is helping me get elected because they think I'd be a great president. So it's much harder to serve on the campaign fields of America promoting your dad than it is to go over to the Middle East and fight the war your father is supporting. Yeah, they support our country, don't they? We'll talk a little bit more about Mitt Romney's sons when we come back. What a phony. You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City, all of Peter B. Collins' excellent radio stations, and for all of you, the toll-free number, 877-766-1240. We'll be back.
Change the world. Start with one step.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Cornucopia and Bruno's Markets Carmel, Carmel Valley Market, Grove Market, PG, Staff of Life and New Leaf Markets, Santa Cruz, and Star Market, Salinas. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat. Created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Yeah!
So it means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testified lying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men or three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
Yeah, I was out of touch, but it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much.
You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC, 1240 AM Talk City. I am Christine Kraft. What do you think about Mitt Romney and his boys, huh? Mitt Romney and his boys. Arnold is back. I'm sorry, because I think I sort of dissed Arnold. I didn't mean to. Let's hear it. Okay, Arnold. Arnold's cell phone died, and I dissed you. I didn't mean to diss you. I thought you just wanted me not to tell the whole story for some reason, but assumption. I was wrong.
You know, it's tough working for a living. I talk on my cell phone all day, and the thing just was gone, just like that. But now I'm on a landline, and, I did want to talk to you. I never call. I listen every day. I'm fortunate. I drive a lot for my work, and I get to listen to you every day, and Randy Rhodes and Ed Schultz and et cetera. I love it all.
Yes.
You're turning me into an activist. I sent emails to all of Michael Vick's endorsers.
I sense a big butt here.
Pardon?
I sense a big butt here, and I don't mean mine.
Not really a butt. It's more of an and.
Mm-hmm.
And getting back to the Satinder Singh story,
right.
It really hit home today when it came to my attention that he was living with his grandmother. And his grandmother works for the same agency that I work for.
Who Satinder was?
Satinder's grandmother, yes.
Yes, okay.
And so she works for the same agency that I work for, and they're having a hardship. And so what I wanted to ask your permission, and first let me say that they're not a wealthy family. They are having hardship. And so I was going to appeal to listeners who wanted to help.
Sure.
By what we're doing, we're helping out at the company level here on a voluntary basis, and I was going to ask your permission if I could just read our address. If listeners wanted to send in small donations of $5 or $10 or something that they're comfortable with,
and Bill, because we have a larger audience that knows very little about what we're talking about in this case.
That's true.
Why don't
national
you just,
show.
Is there a website that they could go to if they want to learn more?
No, we don't have that. Just a company address or phone number.
I'll tell you what. Why don't we do it this way?
I was going to offer it to your staffer offline, but she didn't want to take it.
What you should do is just Christine@1240talkcity.com.
Yep.
Send me the information, and then next week when we're back to our local, just our Sacramento show, I'll make sure that everybody knows.
Great, Christine@1240.com.
Yes.
Fantastic. And your man John Edwards looked pretty good, didn't he? I heard.
I like that John Edwards. I'll tell you. Thanks a lot.
I'm a broad guy. Okay. Have a good day.
All right.
Thanks.
That's Arnold. We cleared that up. Okay, let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about Mitt Romney and his sons. Anybody want to talk about that? Mitt Romney's sons. He's got five of them. Now, remember, Mitt Romney, this is the Mormon guy who just really wanted to serve his country in Vietnam, felt that it was a legitimate cause, but had to go do a Mormon missionary job just in the right time, saved his little butt from having to go serve in Vietnam. Believed in the cause, much like Rush Limbaugh, who believed in the cause but couldn't go because he had an ingrown hair on his behind. Yes, that's true. Rush Limbaugh had a pilonidal cyst, which is basically an ingrown infected hair on his butt. So he wanted to support the, go kill in my name, right? But I just can't go because it's very hard for me to sit. Now, far be it for me to mention that he's made his entire fame and career, and I think Rush has great talent, but doing what? Sitting on his butt and talking. So, but couldn't serve his country. No, sir. And here's Romney. We have another guy up here, John Doolittle, who's very rah-rah, war on terror, and was real rah-rah, supported the Vietnam War, but just couldn't go because he had to go to Argentina on a Mormon mission. So Romney, who did not serve in Vietnam due to his Mormon missionary work, and a high draft lottery number was asked the question by an anti-war activist after a speech in which he called for a surge of support for U.S. forces in Iraq. Let's support the troops, baby. What about your sons, she asked. You have five sons. And how come they're not serving? I mean, why haven't they decided to enlist in the military and help our country in its war on terror? And Romney with his perfect slick hairdo. We make the perfect TV anchor man, you know, all hairdo and no brain. And I should know because I've been one of those people, except I had too much of a brain. I was a woman who knew too much. That's why I didn't like me. But anyway, I went too much on the beauty part. Wasn't that interested. But Romney says the good news is that we have a volunteer army, and that's the way we're going to keep it, by golly. No more scary drafts for other Mormon kids. We're going to, you know, they'll be able to go off and do their missionary work and not feel bad about it, I guess. My sons are showing support for our nation and helping me get elected because they think I'd be a great president. How's that? For putting your sons where his support for the war on terror, but not his own, okay? Just won't do it. The woman who asked the question, Rachel Griffiths, age 41 of Milan, Illinois, identified herself as a member of Progressive Action for the Common Good, as well as the sister of an Army major who has served in Iraq. And she was asked if she was satisfied with Romney's answers. Of course not. He told me the way his sons show support for our military and our nation is to buy a Winnebago and ride across Iowa and help him get elected. Good for her. Oh, my God. Oh, it's so funny. So you can certainly comment on Mr. Romney's sons. Doesn't that just hit you like a bag of wet dingo's kidneys, to quote a friend of mine? I mean, it's just ridiculous. Support the troops. Send your sons and send your daughters. But I would never send mine. Of course not. Not mine. They're little Romneys. They're not going to go. A chicken hawk, don't you think? Full of meaningless displays of pseudo-patriotism while they push for more troops in a useless and devastating war of lies in Iraq. That little bit I'm just reading from one of the blog posters here. In other words, writes this one poster, while Romney claims to support the war in Iraq, none of his offspring who are eligible to join do so because they know it's based on lies and they don't want to serve anything but themselves and the Republican Party. Yeah? Don't you think? I think so. I think they're a bunch of phonies, too. Okay, let's talk. Do we have time? Yeah, let's talk to Jan on line three. Hey, Jan, you're on Talk City.
Hi, Christine.
Hey there.
Well, I saw the same helicopter.
Oh, you did?
Oh, yes. It was Monday afternoon, about, I'd say, around 3 p.m. I was on 50 going east, just about 19th Street, mm-hmm. and here it came from the north over Sacramento.
Okay.
Went over the freeway and continued south.
Okay.
And it wasn't...
It was a Huey.
Stuff coming out was not coming out in streams, like if they were spraying for West Nile. It was coming out in puffs like clouds.
So
and
this...
it was low. It was very low.
Okay, so now we've had two sightings of a Huey helicopter spewing something on the residents of Sacramento and not exhaust.
No, and having worked, after listening to your last person that called about the act, I was on the phone, all I'm going to say is in the 60s and 70s, I worked for a particular governmental agency.
Yes.
And people should be afraid.
Yeah, because you know...
This is not... People have got to stop thinking that this is all conspiracy theories, because it's not.
And that's the way they make people look so. Say, oh, well, it's a conspiracy theory. Oh, you know, you're heavy of it.
No,
the voting machines are all, they work perfectly.
Right,
and, yeah.
Right.
9-11,
no.
Just a, you know, terrible, yeah, right.
Not the way it is.
And that's right. And if you look, do a little historical study here, and I'm sure you would agree with me, Jan, you would find out there have been many times when our own government, under the aegis of some rotten people, have done some terrible things to our citizens by way of experiment or intimidation.
Well, I'm one of those people. I was used in radiation experimentation in 1949, where they took 300 kids who were perfectly healthy, did cobalt-60 from the thymus up. 68% of those kids died of cancer right here at Sutter Memorial Hospital.
Yes. And now you're seeing Huey helicopters where they don't exist.
Well,
uh-huh.
And I've worked with the chemtrails, and which is another whole story. But
I
they
know.
Used it was...
We're out of time,
some of the people that collected this
Jan.
Stuff.
We're out of time, and we will pick up the chemtrail issue maybe next week. Thank you so much.
It's very serious.
Yes, got to go.
Okay, thank you.
You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM, Talk City, and I see that Kim from Sacramento for Obama is on the line. We'll talk to her at the top of the hour. Planet.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
I have always said that I will listen to the requests of our commanders on the ground.
Mr. President, you did not listen. You continue to pursue a failed strategy that is breaking our great Army and Marine Corps. I left the Army in protest in order to speak out. Mr. President, you have placed our nation in peril. Our only hope is that Congress will act now to protect our fighting men and women.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. After 21 years, a teacher in space.
3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff of Space Shuttle Endeavour.
At the Crandall Canyon Mine.
The drill has now started the actual drilling.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. More than two decades after the loss of Space Shuttle Challenger with teacher Krista McAuliffe aboard, the woman who was her backup for that mission is in orbit to revive the concept of a classroom in space. We go live to CBS News correspondent Peter King.
Now, Bill, it was a spectacular launch, and Endeavour's main engines cut off right on time just 14 minutes ago.
Endeavour now in its preliminary orbit for Barbara Morgan and her crewmates, classes in session.
In a pre-flight interview, Morgan told us that she goes into space doing an astronaut's job, but with a teacher's eyes, ears, heart, and mind, with thoughts of the Challenger crew.
I learned so much from every one of them, and I carry those lessons with me today and will forever.
Morgan is one of two robot arm operators on this space station flight, but will teach at least one and as many as three sessions if time permits. Many more when she gets back on the ground nearly 25 minutes into the mission. So far, so good. Live at the Kennedy Space Center, Peter King, CBS News.
Now this.
Yeah, Dave, Ted here. Hey, tomorrow at 522, a forklift is going to smash right into our conveyor system. Really bust it up good, okay? You should be getting a call about 523. Just wanted to give you a heads up. Thanks.
In your job, you don't get warnings, so Grainger's just added a massive amount of material handling products to help get you through whatever the day brings. We're adding products and removing problems, from casters and wheels to carts and conveyors. We have what you need to move, handle, and store just about anything. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Grainger.com. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Everyone's racing to participating Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships during Pit Stop Savings Day. Right now, make a pit stop to buy four Michelin or VF Goodrich tires, and you'll get a $50 gas card on us. Get our team of experts on your side. Hurry into your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Pit Stop Savings Days end soon.
Good job, guys.
Call 1-877-310-3673 for details, or see participating dealer before 9:30 a.m.
Progress today in Huntington, Utah, where drills are boring toward the spot where those six coal miners are believed to be trapped. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick is there.
The drills are digging small paths through the rock to the trapped miners.
The drill brought in by helicopter was down 450 feet.
Another larger drill is also at work. They will be crucial to making contact with the miners and getting them water and oxygen. And then there's the underground rescue, called off yesterday because of seismic activity, which has now let up some.
We're preparing to move men underground.
The miners' co-owner, Bob Murray, plans to go too, taking with him a son and brother of two of the trapped miners. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, Huntington, Utah.
President Bush called Utah Governor John Huntsman today.
I told him our nation's thoughts and prayers are with the miners and their families, and that the federal government will help in any way we can.
It's a week almost to the minute since the bridge collapse in Minneapolis. With eight people still missing, the work of recovering submerged vehicles proceeded slowly today. Police Captain Mike Martin says they're trying to be very careful.
Those vehicles have been crushed for the most part. This is going to be a process of having to most likely pull these vehicles out to recover, you know, evidence, any remains.
It's very preliminary, but investigators for the National Transportation Safety Board say they found a potential design problem with the steel plates that held the bridge's angled steel beams together. Across much of the country, air conditioners are groaning under the strain of oppressive heat and humidity. Power demand is setting records. Michael Schneiderman is a spokesman for Alabama Power.
Late Monday.
Monday afternoon, we hit a record-setting peak in the history of our company, about 12,000 megawatts of power we produced. If the weather holds as it is, it's likely we'll hit another record sometime this week.
Tennessee Valley Authority has set records 2 days in a row, and forecasters expect the heat wave to persist through the weekend. The Secret Service guards President Bush with armor, bulletproof glass, weapons, and sophisticated technology, but it wasn't able to protect him from a tiny bug. That's disclosed in a report today on the president's medical checkup.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. In all, 13 medical specialists conducted President Bush's latest physical and found him to be in excellent health. But their latest report revealed that Mr. Bush was treated last summer for early localized Lyme disease. That's the illness contracted from ticks. A spokesman says Mr. Bush developed a rash, it was treated, and didn't come back. He was advised to wear long pants and use bug repellent when bike riding.
Mr. Bush called Barry Bonds today to congratulate him on his 756 home run. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
And now for the bonus round. Friday multiplied by Saturday equals...
Tuesday at 2:30.
Correct. Sean's hair is 4.5 inches longer than Chad's. How tall is Chad?
5'8".
Correct. What's the new way to get movies from Netflix?
Come on, instantly on your PC.
Correct! Netflix. Now there's two ways to get movies. DVDs in the mail fast and instantly on your PC in as little as 30 seconds. Netflix, it's that easy. Five movies for $5 a month.
Restrictions apply. See terms of use for Star Time and 5 for 5 details.
You put Monday behind you. Tuesday's done, oh no worries. Wednesday's perfect to unwind. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this summer with two new No Worries Wednesday mixed grills. Our classic grilled seafood and steak, or our bold barbecue mixed grill. Enjoy two new mixed grills.
Let's go out back tonight.
Now you can order curbside takeaway online at outback.com. Just click and pick up.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Christine Kraft. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City, and all of Peter B. Collins' radio stations are hearing this program for the rest of this week, and that would be, of course, the station in Portland, in Coos Bay, Oregon, as well as in Eureka and on the Monterey Peninsula. We welcome all of you. First thing I want to do before we do Ask a Muslim, we've kind of moved the time up today because we have a very busy schedule. We're going to talk about Islam and spirituality and all that. Before we do that, let's talk to Kim. She's on line one. Kim is the executive chairwoman for Sacramento for Obama. Hey, Kim, how are you?
I'm great, Christine. How are you doing?
I bet you guys are quite busy today.
We were. It was a great day. A busy, busy day. Started about 4:30, but it turned out just awesome.
And you had Barack Obama in town.
We did, and he was wonderful. He talked to the 120-something on the street for about 10 minutes and went upstairs and came back and said hi again before he took off of town. Everybody was excited. It was a great day for everybody involved.
And so you pulled it off. It's not easy to get the candidate to come to an individual towns. When is he going to come back?
We don't have a date, but we're going to be working on another plan to get him back soon.
Okay. And so what was his major message today? This is this is right after this debate they had about labor issues, of course. What was his big message to people in Sacramento?
He was very, very happy for them to all be out there and support him, and let's go out and pound some pavement and get the votes out in February and win this election. That was what he talked about to the grassroots folks.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to... He's gone already, right?
He's already gone. He's on a plane in Los Angeles already.
Oh, my goodness. And there's another debate, I guess, in Los Angeles. Is it tonight or tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Okay. Tomorrow at 6 o'clock our time.
And now that's going to be televised on kind of an odd cable network, and I'm not sure that we get it here. We'll be able to watch that here in Sacramento, do you know?
I am not 100% sure, and I'm sorry about that, what the channel is it's going to be on. I'm going to be down at Headhunters because it's a debate sponsored by the GLBT,
mm-hmm.
And we're going to be going to Headhunters to watch it at 6 o'clock with a bunch of folks. So.
And you will be eating BLTs while you watch the GLBT debate?
Yes.
See, you're quick. That's great. And I understand Melissa Etheridge will be the moderator of that debate.
Yep, that's going to be a lot of fun. Going to be a lot of fun.
Excellent. Well, I'm sure you're just still on an incredible high having had your candidate here in town. And are you a little bothered that the latest poll shows him And see, I think the party's already decided it's Hillary Clinton. You know, I mean, they've already decided that's who it's going to be. I find it hard to believe these polls that say she's 22 percentage points ahead of Barack Obama.
Yeah, I don't believe them. No, I don't believe them in any way, shape, or form. A lot of people that I talk to are people that haven't voted in a long time. They're people who have re-registered as either from declined to state or from Republican to Democrat so they can vote for Barack Obama.
Well, now, you can still vote for Barack Obama in the primary if you're a declined to state voter, because you can vote on the Democratic primary ballot. You just have to ask for it.
Correct. Yes, you absolutely can. But I don't buy those numbers at all. You know, I know that it's a small sampling of people that they talk to. I know that I'm out there talking to people on the street, and I talk to people in Indianapolis. I talk to people in Brooklyn, Florida, Portland, all over the country, and they're all getting the same response we are. And that's why he was so quick to jump out of the car against Secret Service advice, is because he knows that this is going to be run on the grassroots level. You didn't see 125 people at the event for Hillary, the grassroots folks. You didn't see that when any other presidential candidate came to town. And that just speaks volumes right there. This is going to be a campaign that, you need a lot of money to function and to do this thing, but it's going to be one on the grassroots level. I have no doubt about that.
Well, Kim, thanks so much for giving us a call, and we look forward to hearing when you're going to bring it back again. Congratulations for pulling that one off.
Thanks, and we'll let you know.
Okay, thank you, Kim.
Take care. Thanks, Christine. Bye-bye.
And if you go to Sacramento for Obama, of course, if you're in Portland, you don't give a rat's patootie about Sacramento for Obama, but that's the local grassroots Barack Obama group. Absolutely. Okay? Yeah, the network is called Logo, and I would imagine if you have, a dish? Satellite dish, you can probably get it that way. We'll find out. I don't think you can get it on regular cable systems. Okay, let's clear our brains of all of that and talk to my next guest, our regular guest on Wednesday here a little bit earlier than usual. Okay, Bassem Alkara, who is the executive director of CARE, the Council of American and Islamic Relations. How are you today?
I'm pretty good.
You're relaxed? You got all the new furniture in the office and all of that?
Yeah, just setting it up. So we're almost there.
Yeah. And this is Ask a Muslim. So if any of you have a question for him, you can call in and ask a Muslim. This is your opportunity. You kind of wonder, maybe you'll see somebody, you think, well, maybe that person's a Muslim, but, I don't know him. I don't want to ask him anything unless I know. This is your opportunity. And our toll-free number from anywhere, 877-766-1240. If you have something you've always wanted to ask a Muslim, you can do it now. 877-766-1240. You want to focus in on something that's very important, I think, to just about everybody. And that's not so much religion, but spirituality and Islam.
Muslims are taught in our holy book, the Quran. There's a verse that states, on the day of judgment, no one is safe, save the one who returns to God with a pure heart. And then in a saying of the Prophet Muhammad, he said, surely in the breasts of humanity is a lump of flesh. If sound, then the whole body is sound. And if corrupt, then the whole body is corrupt. Is it not the heart? And, of course, other sayings, Jesus, peace be upon him, said, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. And this is central to Islam, the concept of Islamic spirituality, the science of purifying the heart. And when one purifies the heart, how that changes our entire living, our entire being. And I'll give a brief analogy. In Islam, we are all travelers. We're all considered travelers.
And we are travelers.
In this world.
Yeah.
And it's like it's a boat. With a vast ocean, and we're on the boat, and that the boat is the heart. The boat is actually the heart, and the ocean around us, the vast ocean, is the world around us, the material world. And we all need the material world to sail through this life.
That's the medium we're in, yeah.
To get to our final destination, which is to go back home, which we consider heaven. So Adam and Eve were kicked out from our home, and we're on a journey to go back. And so in this journey, You're going to need the material world, but at the same time, if too much of that water gets into the boat,
guess what?
You sink.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Here's what I was going to ask is, I was raised a Roman Catholic, and in Roman Catholicism, and in much of Christianity, of course, is this concept of sin. And you do things, and I'm sure Muslims do things, oh my God, that was really not something that was very pure of heart. Is there a way of... confess your sins as we do in Roman Catholicism to a priest? We say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. My last confession was 20 years ago. These are my sins. And you kind of give the list of the sins. And then the priest says, for your confession, sort of absolve you of your guilt here because you've come to me and you've told me these things you've done. You've been forthcoming. is that, and the priest will always say, is that all? You know, like, is there something else you don't want to talk about? And they sort of bring it out of you, whatever it is you, because you know, everybody knows, I think, whatever religion they're, they know when they've done something that is not, and about the pureness of that. You know when you do something, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. You'll say, oh, God, I wish I hadn't done that. That was wrong. But there, in Catholicism, at least, there is this confessional process where the slate is wiped clean. You do some sort of penance, a lot of prayer. Is there something similar like that in Islam?
It's similar, and the only difference is you don't turn to a priest or any other human being. You just turn to God and ask God for forgiveness. And I will admit, on the air, and my Catholic friends have to forgive me, when I went to Catholic school, when I was young, maybe about fourth grade, and before they would go to church and do confession, mm-hmm. I would tell my friends, no, don't tell the priest. Don't tell him what you did. Just ask God.
Yeah, directly. So
that's probably
direct
the only
line.
Bad thing I did at Catholic school. So all my Catholic friends, please forgive me. Father Kernan, I'm sorry.
sort of wondered why some of the other fourth graders weren't too forthcoming. They used to tell me everything. Now they're reluctant, you see?
So in Islam, everyone, no one's perfect except the prophets. No one's perfect, and everyone commits sins. And God says if the whole world was perfect, he would actually get rid of everyone and bring back all sinners. Because one of the most beloved things to God is when his servant turns back to him and asks for forgiveness.
Right.
So it says, verily the children of Adam are sinners, and the best of the sinners are the repenters. So the ones that turn back to God. And God loves people that turn to him and talk to him and worship him. And in Islam, there's sin. When someone commits a sin, and there's different levels of sins. There's major sins and minor sins. But when one commits a sin, the Prophet Muhammad said, a black dot goes on the heart. And the more we commit sins, the more black dots, until the heart, the spiritual heart, gets engulfed with this darkness. And then we're deaf, dumb, and blind. So we'll see something bad, we won't speak out against it.
We won't even see it. Yeah, we'll just
we won't even see it.
No. Yeah.
And then you hear something bad, you're just so accustomed to it. It doesn't affect the heart whatsoever.
But if your heart is the more pure the heart is, the more you're going to detect the evil or the sin or whatever it is.
Yes, and so when you purify the heart, it's like a dirty coin, a rusty coin. When you polish it and clean it, it starts shining. Same thing with a human heart. If we purify the heart, it'll shine with the light of God, and we'll see clearly. We won't be deaf, dumb, and blind. We'll see clearly what's happening around us. We'll see clearly. We'll hear clearly, and so if you listen to a rap song that has a lot of profanity, the heart mm-hmm. gets a little agitated. It mm-hmm. can't handle it,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we're so used to listening so much
sort of
bad
numb
things.
In a way.
We're numb. We become numb. We see bad things, and we're numb.
So is that the goal? And we only have about 30 seconds here, and we'll take a break and come back. Is that the goal of daily prayers? As you pray five times a day, is to purify the heart?
Yes. And when prayer, there's a few ways to get rid of these sins, to get rid of these black dots in the heart, and doing prayer, doing remembrance of the Lord. Some had to have rosary beads, you know, and making different prayers. And so when you do this, when you remember God, or in Islam also, it's not just prayers. For example, even if you get sick, sickness is a form of purification. So everything that happens in life is a form of purification. Even the Prophet Muhammad said, even sorrow, even a prick of a needle to your finger is a form of purification. And what God is doing is getting rid of these black dots in the heart so we can have pure hearts. And so we should, you know, when something bad happens to you, just say, you know, thank God, it's a form of purification, and move on.
So, and we will do that. We'll take a commercial break and come back and talk more about spirituality and Islam. Ask a Muslim, 877-766-1240. We'll take some calls when we come back. Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM, Talk City.
To change the world, start with one step.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Two great Chinese restaurants, two great locations, one great American name.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Personally, I love the chow fun noodles. Jim's Restaurant is now celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte. Join the party. Buy lunch or dinner for four at Jim's in Seaside and get a free order of tempura vegetables. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117 for great takeout.
Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale is a local treasure. Jim's owner and chef, Stephen Lowe, has over 20 years of experience in renowned San Francisco restaurants. Chef Lowe provides his loyal clientele with the best of East meets West, including the finest steaks in Monterey County. Chef Lowe enhances classic American and Chinese dishes with delicious French and Italian entrees and sauces. Jim's Restaurant in Prunedale transcends categories with a unique pace-setting menu and family-friendly prices. Jim's in Prunedale is open daily for lunch and dinner. Stop by 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road or call Chef Stephen Lowe at 663-4888 for carryout to die for.
Hello, everybody. Let's talk about the very latest, starting out with a problem in Hollister, Gilroy. They're saying this is southbound 101, just before Maston Avenue. It's a crash. No other details at this point. Also, northbound 101 at Rocks Road, we have a big rig blocking the second lane from the right at this point. And so CHP on the way to the scene, they might need a big rig tow truck to push that vehicle off of the roadway. More problems, for example, how about, let's take a look at Soquel, Main Street at Soquel Drive, an accident being reported. Actually, two cars have been cleared to the right shoulder. And this report brought to you by SEIU, Local 1000. California state employees are on the job while some state legislators are on vacation. SEIU Local 1000 urges the governor and the legislature to return to work and pass a state budget that keeps California healthy, safe, and strong. That's traffic on KRXA.
Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC, 1240 AM, Talk City, and also Peter B. Collins' excellent network of radio stations, an excellent network it is indeed. If you want to call in and ask a Muslim, now's your chance. Okay, 877-766-1240. Bassam Alkara is our guest. He's here with us every Wednesday. We got a whole bunch of calls. Let's start out with Ron on line one. Ask a Muslim, Ron. You're on the radio.
And hello, can you hear me, Christine?
Sure can.
I love Talk City. I love your sponsors. I love Air America and all you guys, and I appreciate the opportunity to ask a Muslim a question.
You may.
I'm a semi-theological astute sort of fellow, not a hard practitioner, but I have dabbled in what does each group think and believe. And I was, well, when your guest was on today, and I've heard it before, I thought, well, wait a second. I see Muslim, Islam, okay. What is the difference, if there is one at all, aside from race, between Islam and the Nation of Islam and Muslims and the black Muslims that we hear of with Louis Farrakhan here in the United States? Is there a theological or conceptual difference of some kind?
There are many differences. most Orthodox Muslims don't consider the Nation of Islam to be Muslims. But there have been a lot of changes also over time. When the Nation of Islam first started, it started with individuals who claimed that the black man was God, the white man was the devil. And so what they were trying to do is they were actually trying to go back to the Islam that they were brought over here mm-hmm. with as slaves. But over time, they lost most of that understanding. And what the Nation of Islam was in the early period was a mixture of Islam, Christianity, and black nationalism.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, it has changed. Wardeen Muhammad, the son of Elijah Muhammad was one of the founder of the Nation of Islam. And he believed that he was like a prophet, he was a messenger of God.
Mm-hmm.
His own son broke with him. And also Malcolm X, if you remember, Malcolm X also broke with Elijah Muhammad.
I remember that, yeah.
And he was killed for that after he found out that there was some corruption and he exposed a lot of the corruption. Then he was killed for that. And then Malcolm X went on to become Orthodox Islam. The son of Elijah Muhammad, Wardeen Muhammad, went to become Orthodox Islam and joined the mainstream Muslims. And over time, it's been evolving. And actually, last year, at their National Savior's Day, an Orthodox Muslim led the prayer. And Farrakhan is trying to bring the nation closer to the mainstream Muslims. And if you look at what that did with Malcolm X, you know, he used to be racist, anti-Semite. And after he became a Muslim, he said the white man is not the devil. He said, I've met white people when he went to the pilgrimage in Mecca, to the Hajj. He said, I met white people with blue eyes that treated me like their brother. And he actually said that for the race problems in America, America needs Islam, because Islam resolves the race issue, because you have all colors standing side by side, praying together, worshiping together. And so that's the difference, but it is changing. And there are also offshoots of the Nation of Islam that are not even connected to the Nation of Islam anymore.
So then if there is an Al-Qaeda branch of Islam, which is technically, if we're going to believe all the press, our enemy, then there be some sort of a parallel black Al-Qaeda?
No. I mean, there's no... we haven't heard of any.
Oh, I hope not. Okay. Well, thank you very much for the information.
Thanks,
great
Ron. Call. Thanks, Ron. And
thank
I know
you.
Your topic today was spirituality, but this all connects in a way, doesn't it, don't you think, so far? Unless they ask about the toothbrushes again. Let's find out. Shall we move on? Who's next? Timmy on line 4. Hey, Timmy, how are you?
Oh, no, that's Jimmy.
Oh, Jimmy.
Yeah, hi.
You and your brother, Timmy. Okay.
I'm researching Sufism a little bit. And
the,
I'm reading
thinking
some,
of the swirling and the twirling thing?
That's part of it. I wonder if your guest could elucidate a little bit about that. What I've gathered is, so far, is that it's the mystical branch of Islam.
The Sufi?
And it's into worshiping God with dance and music and poetry.
Hmm. Any thoughts on that?
Well, Sufism can be interpreted in many different ways. There's the Sufism that's according to Islam, the Quran, and then the way of the Prophet and what he taught, and deriving lessons from that, which is purification of the heart. And then, of course, there's like offshoots of Sufism that has nothing to do with Islam itself. And so what we're talking today about purification of the heart, it's the science of purification of the heart, also translated as Sufism, or for others, ilm al-iman, the science of faith. And so this is the subject right here, what we're talking about today, is when Muslims start a practice of purifying the heart. And,
thanks, Jimmy.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Hold on. Let's take another call, and let's go to... Questions aren't too bad so far.
No.
Yeah, we're on spirituality. David, ask a Muslim, line 2 in Humboldt County. Hi, David. You're on Talk City. How are you?
Hey, really great.
Oh, you know, I just realized we probably don't have enough time. I'm on this different clock. Can you hold with us for a bit?
I'll hold with you.
Hold. Stay there. We'll put you on hold because we need to take a break. This is very spiritual of us, but we will do that. We're going to take a little break and come back with more of your questions. That's right. And the phone number here, toll-free, 877-766-1240, 877-766-1240. Ask a Muslim. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM. Talk City and all of Peter B. Collins' excellent radio stations in Oregon and California. Back with more of your questions on Ask a Muslim after these.
And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of time.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Tourism Ireland. Discover your very own Ireland at discoverireland.com. And by Granger Industrial Supplies, for the ones who get it done. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Fears about the future of oil are fueling America's push to turn more corn into ethanol. But some scientists say we may be heading down the wrong energy road.
We need to look at the reality of what corn ethanol can really do for us.
Ethanol hype after this. I want to tell you about a place in Europe that's just waiting to be discovered, where breathtaking natural wonders leave even a seasoned traveler like me speechless. Ancient castles where you could live like a king. Bustling cities where culture, fine dining, and vibrant nightlife meet. The place is Ireland. Don't be surprised. In Ireland, not a day goes by without something new being discovered. Discover your very own Ireland at discoverireland.com or call 1-800-SHAMROCK for your free Ireland vacation planner. Your business can save both time and money when you buy your industrial supplies from Granger, a leading broadline supplier of facilities maintenance products. With more than 400 local branches and Granger.com, Granger helps you to get the supplies you need quickly so you can be more productive. Granger has the right industrial supplies to keep your business running, from safety and material handling to motors, plumbing, and lighting. To learn more about Granger or to find a branch near you, visit Granger.com. Granger, for the ones who get it done. With energy supplies in question, everyone from lawmakers to automakers to agribusiness is touting corn ethanol as a cleaner, homegrown alternative to imported oil. But Alex Farrell of UC Berkeley says corn can't cure our oil addiction.
Right now, about 18% of the corn in the United States goes into ethanol production, and it leads to a grand total of about 3% of the energy in our cars and trucks.
Both Farrell and Jason Hill of the University of Minnesota agree there are serious obstacles to ethanol. For one, even if we paved the entire country with cornfields, there wouldn't be enough.
If we were to convert every corn kernel we produce in this nation to ethanol, we would be able to offset only about 12% of our gasoline usage.
Using all that corn, says Hill, would still only cut greenhouse gases from driving by just 1% to 2%. Alex Farrell points out a third problem. Corn farming itself is a major source of pollution from fertilizers and pesticides. Then there's the issue of national security. Growing corn for fuel takes valuable land out of food production, which threatens food security. Hill says we could make ethanol from things like cellulose or waste, but there's something even easier we can do when we drive.
Simply choosing a four-cylinder car over a six-cylinder car far outshines the savings that we could get by using ethanol.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City. I'm Christine Kraft, in for Peter B. Collins on his all of his stations for the rest of this week. And we were talking to Dave online, so we put him on hold. And you're back with us, aren't you, Dave?
Yes.
Good.
I'm still on hold. And
ask a Muslim. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's been my experience that most of the Muslim people I've met are far better people than our current White House would make us out to believe, and so I would like to let you know that. But the question that I have is there only one right religion, as non-Muslims condemned, how about a non-theist, which I tend to lean? Are you open to other positions, or is there only one true position?
There are many truths out there, but we believe, everyone believes that their religion is the best form of practice or the best form of worship. But at the same time, we don't know what's in other people's hearts, and we don't know who's going to go to heaven or hell. And so we leave that to God. We just try to be the best human beings that we can be by practicing our faith. And there are sins. God forgives certain, all sins. I mean, in Islam, there's only one sin that God doesn't forgive.
What is it?
Associating partners with God, saying God, you know, has a partner. And so that's the, other than that, that's the only sin that God does not forgive. And so and as Muslims, we believe in people of the book, which are the Jews and the Christians and the previous scriptures and the previous prophets.
And so, thank you so much.
What about Hindus? Well, how do Muslims feel about Hindus?
I mean, some doesn't theologically agree with Hinduism, since
yes.
they believe in many different gods.
And reincarnation.
But if you look at when the Muslims did go into that part of the world and the diversity and the harmony of the Mughal Empire living side by side with the Sikhs and the Hindus. And so
yeah.
they lived side by side, and there was no problem.
Absolutely. Let's move on to another call. Let's go to James in Oregon on line one. Hey, James, you're on Talk City in Sacramento. How about them apples?
Not bad.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask the Muslim, what's the difference in belief between the Shias and the Sunnis?
Okay.
So it was a difference of succession, political succession, after the death of the Prophet. The Sunnis believe in the community picks who's going to be the successor, who has to be the best from the community. The Shiites believe that it should have been in the lineage of the Prophet, so it would have been in his bloodline, and so that's the major difference. Now, the Sunnis and Shiites agree on more than 90% of the faith. They believe in the Quran. They believe in the five pillars of Islam. It's a political difference that happened for the six. Who's going to lead the Muslim community after the death of the Prophet.
So there's really no reason why they couldn't get along and have gotten along in many parts of the world, including Iraq, until there are political forces who come in there and invade countries and create all kinds of mess. And then you've got people saying, well, we want the share of the pie. It's the political realities kick in, and then people would be divided by the differences rather than by the similarities. Does that answer it for you, James?
Beautifully.
Oh, wow. Thanks.
Thanks, James.
Let's move on to Laird. By the way, the phone number, Ask a Muslim, 877-766-1240, 877-766-1240. Laird in Eureka, California, line 3. Hey, Laird, Ask a Muslim.
How you doing?
Fine.
My question is kind of tied to one you had a couple callers ago, but it's, why do we need the mosque? Why do we need the church? Why do we need imams? Why do we need the structure?
When we compare Islam to other faiths, it's going to be a little different because we don't have a structure similar to, for example, Christianity or the Catholic Church or other faiths. In Islam, whoever has the knowledge can lead prayer, for example. It can be a 14-year-old who can lead a congregation. And so we don't really have the structure. We have scholars, but we don't have the one figure that everyone has to listen to. In the past, there was the caliph, who was the political and spiritual ruler of the Muslim world, but there, we don't have one today. And so Islam is not structured. Within Islam, then you have, for example, the Shiites have a little more structure than the Sunnis in terms of their clergy. It's very difficult. It's very
what
difficult
about
to
a
compare.
Mosque, do you have to have a mosque?
The mosque is a central part of the community where people go to worship,
yes.
Congregate, to see friends, see one another, families see one another. I mean, it's there for prayer.
For example, in this war in Iraq, we've seen a couple of times where major important religious places, mosques, have been damaged or blown up, etc. And you saw this Republican guy, what's his name, Tom Tancredo, say this week that, what we ought to do is just tell them Muslims that if they ever hurt us again, including all Muslims, if they hurt us again, not making the distinction between, political zealots and most Muslims in the world, then we should tell them we're going to nuke Mecca and we're going to nuke all these holy places. And that would be a good deterrent. That'll keep them from, attacking us.
Yeah, I mean, he's not helping this country.
No, I don't think
especially
so.
Especially at a time when we're trying to win the hearts and the minds of the Muslim world and say, you know, this is not a war on Islam, when a presidential candidate says things like this. And he's been saying some crazy stuff over the past years about Islam. It doesn't help our country.
And he, of course, was disavowed by the State Department in quick order. I mean, that he was, you know, really speaking out of turn and all of that. Let's move on to Red in Sacramento on line two. Hey, Red, you're on Talk City.
Yeah, I had a question for your guest.
Sure.
It's something that I'm curious about. I mean, granted that there are, you know, beautiful practices in all religions and in the Muslim and Islamic world as well, and beautiful people who practice them. I'm still rather concerned with the fact that there are a few tools in Islam that usually aren't found in other religions, although they have their own accounts to make. One in particular, the fatwa. And this was levied against people like Salman Rushdie and Omar Sharif, as we know.
Omar Sharif too?
Yeah. Was threatened in the cartoon case in Denmark. That tool was employed under Sharia, the Islamic law. And it seemed to be perfectly legitimate, and Muslims everywhere seemed to be silent, or I didn't, you know, with some exceptions, but we didn't hear a great outrage. We heard an outrage about the offense, but we didn't hear an outrage about going out to murder somebody because they had given offense. And yet now, in this time and age, this was levied because someone offended the religion. Now we don't hear any fatwas against Osama bin Laden, who would claim has offended the religion.
Let him answer, because we only have about 4 minutes here, so go ahead.
Red, there's probably thousands of fatwas online from all the major Muslim scholars, from America to Europe to Saudi Arabia to Pakistan, that condemned Osama bin Laden and his ideology.
Yeah, I thought so.
And if you actually look at it, I mean, there's thousands of fatwas that are given all the time. And a fatwa is a religious edict. But unfortunately, all we remember when we hear the word fatwa is Salman Rushdie. But there's fatwas given on when people ask scholars, and also when it comes to a religious edict, it has to be by a scholar who understands time and place.
Can't just be anybody.
It can't be anyone. So for example, if you have a scholar from overseas who comes to America and then we ask him about a subject, he has to know. He has to speak the language too. He has to understand the time and the place. So for example, if he doesn't know about stem cells. If someone asks him about stem cell research, he can't give a religious edict on that. But now what the Muslim scholars are doing, they're actually getting together in councils, and they're meeting with experts. And to, for example, in the medical field, there's a lot of new things that are happening where they bring in experts, and they have these councils, and they ask the experts, then they make a ruling together. And same thing with terrorism. These councils throughout the world, now especially with satellite and with internet, it's been easier for religious scholars to get together and issue joint fatwas, which didn't always happen in the past. And so, and many of these councils, all the councils, the Council of North, the North American Council, the Council in Europe, and numerous councils throughout the Muslim world, they all condemned Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda and what they've done.
Mainstream media didn't report it in this country.
No, they won't. That's not an image of Islam.
So fatwa, what does it mean exactly?
It's a religious edict which is deduced from the Quran and the Sunnah of the way of the Prophet, the sayings of the Prophet, or the sayings of the scholars, and kind of looking back at history and getting rulings from different scholars and kind of applying it in the modern context.
Is
so, for
it
example, driving
a death contract? Is it a contract on somebody to kill them necessarily?
It's a religious edict about anything. It could be about driving. For example, in Saudi Arabia, right? So women don't drive in Saudi Arabia. So there's no fatwa against women that can't drive. It's a cultural thing. During the time of the Prophet, women rode horses and rode everything. So, you know, there were no cars back then. So, for example, smoking. They didn't have smoking back during the time of the Prophet. And so, actually, like 40 years ago, 50 years ago, some scholars issued a religious edict, a fatwa, saying that smoking is bad. At that time, they didn't know the health effects of it. But back then, people were wasting a lot of time. They were getting together in cafes and just smoking and smoking, mm-hmm. and they were saying, well, it's distracting people from the remembering God and doing good things in society. And then later, when you look at a cigarette box and says, in Europe it says, smoking kills. I saw that in Europe. And
So that's it.
Once the scholar saw that, then the scholar said, you know what? They issued a religious edict saying smoking is forbidden. It's against Islam. Because anything that harms the body is forbidden in Islam. And so that's a religious edict. It could be about anything.
What about Salman Rushdie? Is he still under a call for him to be executed for his writings? What is it?
I have no idea. I mean, this was an edict, I think I was given 20 years ago by...
He's still around, too.
Yeah, he's around.
Yeah. So that's how scary it is. Thanks, Red. Let's move on to Suzanne on line four. Hey, Suzanne, how are you? You're on Talk City. Got about a minute here.
Okay, Christine, what is your visitor's name?
Bassem Alkara.
Okay, I didn't get his name the first part of the show. I was wondering, from the few little things that I've been able to glean, Muhammad really had a lot of respect for women. That he enjoyed them as teachers and as students. How come there's been such a variation away from that? I don't understand.
Okay, we got about a minute to answer, so in 1 minute, go ahead.
Because if you look at the Muslim world over the past 100 years, a lot of people left Islam, went away from Islam. I mean, you look at in some key areas in the Muslim world where they had a lot of Muslim scholarship throughout history, they couldn't even read the Quran 40, 50 years ago. And what happens in the Muslim world, whenever they kind of go away from the religion, they go towards the culture. And then the culture becomes their religion, so which they call a jahiliya, which is called the ignorance, the days of ignorance, which was the pre-Islamic days. They call the pre-Islamic days in Arabia the days of jahiliya, the days of ignorance. And what you see is people go towards back to their culture. And when I travel to the Muslim world, I said, hey, you can't do this, you can't say this. And they say, you know, you're an American trying to teach us our religion? I was like, no, that's our religion. But what happens is they think their culture is their religion because they don't have a proper understanding
of the religion.
That happens
in this country, too. Have you noticed that?
Yes. Happens
very
everywhere.
Much. Right.
So people are trying, what they're doing is they're trying to figure out the religion, but unfortunately they're mixing the culture and their religion together, and they think the culture is the religion.
And then you ask
them, where's the proof? I mean, where does it say that in the Quran? Where does it say that in the sayings of the Prophet? And they can't answer.
And that's why you have situations where you have U.S. military generals telling people they have to be on a crusade, a Christian crusade, sort of mixing a religious idea with a political idea. And it is not unique to Islam in any event, but it makes it more complex to understand. And that's why you're here on Ask a Muslim. You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC, 1240 AM, Talk City. And our phone number for Sacramento, 766-1240. And our phone number for everybody else, Peter B. Collins Network, is 877-766-1240. Ask a Muslim. 10 more minutes to go, and then he's out of here. So get your opportunity. Get it now. We'll be back.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with crumbs stew. A side of couscous and a baba ganoush, yeah. Open at 7. Every day, have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Oh, little catchy tune, little catchy traffic. Okay, Santa Cruz County, westbound 152 Casterly. We have a large tree limb in the lanes there, and always that's not good news. Two Watsonville problems. One regarding some construction work, northbound 1 on the Green Valley Road off-ramp. Now, the off-ramp has been shut down. You can expect delays thanks to one of our cellular callers that told us about that one. A Watsonville crash on Highway 1 at Struve. Slow. It's an accident on the right shoulder. Two vehicles involved in this particular problem. Live Oak, Soquel Avenue at Rodeo Road. We have a minivan that hit a fence there. Also Live Oak, Soquel at Madison. It is a crash there and no details. CHP on the way to the scene. This report brought to you by McDonald's. Start your day right with a hot breakfast at McDonald's. Pick up from the deluxe breakfast, the hot cakes and sausage breakfast, or the big breakfast platter at participating McDonald's, now open at 5 a.m.
Book City 1240.
To change the world, start with one step. However small.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM, Talk City. And my guest is Bassem Alkara. He is the executive director of CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. And I'm not laughing at it because you want to come in and talk about spirituality, but you had a lovely little exposition, and some of the callers have kind of kicked into that. But it's really about the heart there again, and it's really between you and God, isn't it? It's that, and you know, everybody knows that. I don't care what your religion is, but if you believe in a divine entity, a God, Allah, whatever, it really is. And it's in those moments of self-doubt or how could I have done that or I can do better at this. And, you know, I have difficulties. We talk about this personally with a parent who's 91 and is getting, you know, really, really difficult for me. And I get mad at myself sometimes when I'm less than perfect in dealing with his problems, et cetera. And I try to remember the cover of this book that you brought here because it's like sort of almost even touch the heart and think about, am I doing the best I can? And I think you've really helped me. I don't know if you realize that, but just that image helps me think about it and kind of back off before I do something that's just, you know, acting out of emotion. I try to think about doing the best, you know, not having the dark spot on the heart, trying to be the purest of heart that I can be. And I think that's sort of a universal principle in a way.
It's a spiritual struggle.
It is a struggle, isn't it?
Purifying the heart is not easy, you know, and as a Muslim, you have to study the signs, the symptoms, and the cures of the spiritual diseases of the heart. And in Christianity, you have the cardinal sins. In Islam, you have these similar sins, you know, hatred, anger,
mm-hmm.
boasting, and arrogance.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And how do you know to watch out for these? Because we all make mistakes. And how do you watch out for these? And how do you cure it? How do you overcome these diseases? How do you overcome anger? Because it emanates. It emanates in the heart. And so if you're able to control your
fear,
anger,
I think
everything.
Yeah.
And if you're able to control your anger, you control your fear. Then you're in control of your life. When you're able to control your desires, you know, it's the like the master and the slave. Unfortunately, now today we have many slaves. We're not even in control of ourselves. You know, it could be many things. We can't control our spending.
What happens on the deathbed of the average Muslim on his or her deathbed? Are they doing, because you know, many people will say on their deathbed they have this moment where they say, oh, I'm sorry for all I've done, and now I really seek God at this point. Well, it's a little too late at that point. Are there, like, sort of deathbed purifications of the heart? Can you do that at the very end of life, or what's the view of death?
Actually, like I said earlier, sickness is a form of purification. And some people that die from certain types of cancers, they're actually considered martyrs because they went through so much suffering on this earth. God purified them of their sins, and so they go to heaven. And so there's different ways God purifies people of their sins. It could be sickness, and it can be before they die. Like, for example, in Christianity, there's purgatory. You go to purgatory before.
Right.
And as Muslims, we believe you can suffer on this earth, and that's why the poor are the closest to God, because God is purifying them of their sins because of the ordeals they're going through in this life. Some go through ordeals right before they die. They get really sick, so mm-hmm. God's purifying them then. Also in the grave. There's also purification in the grave. And then some people go straight to heaven, or some people go to hell for a while and then go to heaven.
So in Islam, you may go to hell for a while, but then move on up?
Yeah, if someone committed so many sins that did not ask for forgiveness, did not repent, then yeah, they'll go to hell, and then they'll. But like I said, they could have been purified if they say they had a disease or cancer or something. So we got to, or he already purified them. He purified their sins on this earth.
Right.
So that can happen.
So no, but no belief in, because you know you haven't gone to Catholic school. You know,
I did.
In San Francisco. Yeah. And the Pope just came out famously recently and said there's only one true religion, and it's not even Christianity, it's Roman Catholicism. But he said, yes, there really is a place called hell with fire and flames and devils. What is the Islamic conception of hell?
Yes, it's the same concept. There's a fire, and actually hell has extremes. It has the extreme cold. It has its seasons, too.
Oh,
it has
great.
Its extreme cold and its extreme heat. And people who commit evil and mischief, and the tyrants, especially the tyrants, they have a special place. And the hypocrites, the people that say one thing but they do another, they will go to hell and be punished in hell.
But in Islam, you have a chance of actually getting out of hell.
You have a chance of getting out of hell if, depending, there's some, like I said, there's some sins that, you know, that God forgives and some that he won't forgive. But we have a chance to do it now. You know, why even, you know.
Yeah, why count on that?
You know, why count on that? Right. Because in hell, you know, the person who's going to hell says, I wish I was just dust. I wish I didn't exist.
Because it's so bad.
Because it's so bad, because on a day of judgment. And then on the day of judgment is another ordeal, because you're waiting for your judgment. And then after, the beautiful thing is, actually, when you go to heaven, right, someone's going to be asked, how long were you on earth? And the Quran says, I was just there for a day or two. See, that's why life on earth, you know, we live for 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. But really after, you know, you get your judgment and you go to, you know, heaven or hell, that's eternal. And so when you look back, you're just like, oh, I was just there. I was there. It was a blink of an eye. And that's how Muslims look at life on earth, as a test. You know, it's like when I was growing up, you know, you hear that on TV. Beep. This is only a test. This is a test of your emergency broadcast system.
Yeah,
this
right.
is only a test. I was like, man, that's how life is.
That's exactly
you know, and it's like, but there's pass or fail. I mean, you know, you have to try to be a good person. No one's perfect. No one's perfect out there, but you have to try to be the best person. You can't oppress others. You can't lie. You can't cheat. And you just try to be the best person. And then so you can, you know, pass this test and go to heaven, which is eternal.
Now, is there a judgment day? There is.
There is.
Where, what, Allah would be there and you would actually see God? Or do you get to see God? Or you don't get to see God until you are admitted.
That is one of the things that the human yearns for, is to see the face of God. And,
right.
and there will be a place in heaven where people will see the face of God. But it won't be for every, you know, it might not be for everyone. You have to try. You always ask for the highest level of paradise. Actually, in paradise, there's different levels.
Different levels? Okay.
You know, and there's al-Fardaus, which is the highest level, mm-hmm. which you always ask. You say, oh God, give us the highest level of paradise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and unfortunately, nowadays, people don't think about the hereafter. You know, they don't think about death. You know, we just think, okay, we're going to live, you know, for 80 years, right? That's what we're going to live for 80 years. And we forget the real goal and the real purpose in life. The real purpose is to be a good human being, that treats others well, that respects others, and that we respect ourselves.
Let's talk to Kara on line one. And we've only got a minute. This goes so quickly. Kara, go ahead.
Yes, I'm wondering, I don't happen to be gay myself, but I'm just, all this stuff is so neat. I love to hear all these,
okay,
all
very,
these
very
thoughts.
Quickly. So you're wondering how Islam feels
what do Muslims
about,
think
yeah.
about gay people,
okay.
and were there ever any noted spiritual type
okay.
of people like in
right.
some other religion?
Thank you. All right.
So homosexuality in Islam, the early scholars said it is a sin. At the same time, it's a natural impulse where the human can have these inclinations towards homosexuality, but you're supposed to control it. And if you can't control it, then it's a sin.
So you could get.
So if you act upon it, so I mean, if you have homosexual thoughts, it's not a sin in Islam. But if you act upon it, then it's considered a sin. So it's a natural impulse that you're supposed to try to control. But one thing that's interesting, in the Muslim world, like homosocial behavior,
mm-hmm.
like in this country, if guys are holding hands or a kiss, like I used to be embarrassed because in our culture we kiss on the
yeah.
cheeks.
And we're going to leave it with that.
We'll talk about that
That's
later.
Right. Thank you. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC. We leave on a kiss and we'll be back after this.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Peter King, live at the Kennedy Space Center.
3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff of Space Shuttle Endeavour, expanding the International Space Station while creating a classroom in space.
So far, so good aboard Endeavour, almost an hour and a half into its space station mission. Its crew includes a teacher astronaut, Barbara Morgan, Krista McAuliffe's backup for the Challenger flight.
She was, is, and always will be our teacher in space.
But unlike the Challenger crew, Morgan and her crewmates have made it all the way to orbit. This has been a tough time for NASA. Recent charges that astronauts drank before flying. Shuttle Commander Scott Kelly's pre-flight message left no room for doubt on how he feels.
I'm also proud of my crew and the rest of the astronaut office for their competence and professionalism in consistently making something that is incredibly difficult look easy.
I'm Peter King at the Kennedy Space Center. Now with more CBS News, here's Bill Whitney.
If those six trapped coal miners are still alive, what thoughts are going through their minds? Contact with the surface, even through a narrow airway, is still a couple of days away. CBS News correspondent John Blackstone talked to the rescue workers in Huntington, Utah.
Bodie Allred has worked with most of the trapped men for years. One is his cousin.
I know that they know that I wouldn't give up and this company would not give up for them.
Collapses in the tunnel drove rescuers out yesterday. For mine manager Lane Adair, the setbacks have been hard to take.
Right now I haven't had time for my emotions.
Above the mine, two drills are now boring through 1,500 feet of solid rock. It will take at least two more days to drill through to the trapped miners.
What mine management calls seismic activity has settled down, and they hope to resume tunneling operations soon. As thousands of curiosity seekers watch, the search continues for eight victims of the Minneapolis bridge collapse.
Our debris removal or our reconstruction activities are all secondary to the effort at recovery and finding and documenting the missing.
Bob McFarland of the State Transportation Department. The I-35 bridge plunged into the Mississippi a week ago this evening. Minnesota Congressman Jim Oberstar, who chairs the House Transportation Committee, is proposing a three-year gasoline tax hike of 5 cents to raise $25 billion for bridge repairs and replacements. A powerful earthquake beneath the Java Sea shook buildings in Jakarta, Indonesia. Reporter Michael Moss lives there.
I went out to look, and I saw a lot of people doing the same, looking around what's happening, what's going on. And because Jakarta is not a very earthquake-prone area, people were surprised and, many were scared.
Water sloshed out of swimming pools, but there's no report of major damage or serious injury. While the quake had a preliminary magnitude of 7.5, it was so deep in the earth that it did not prompt a tsunami warning. Turned out to be a good day on Wall Street. The Dow Industrial's up 153 points to 13,657. The Nasdaq gained 51. This is CBS News.
With Goodyear, the official tire of NASCAR, you'll feel like you're driving the official pace car of running errands. And now, visit a Goodyear retailer and get up to a $40 gift card by mail-in offer with a purchase of four select Goodyear tires, including race-inspired Response Edge. Or double your gift card up to $80 when purchased on your Goodyear credit card. Goodyear, get there. Offer valid 7/29 through 8/25/07. Visit GoodyearTires.com or a participating Goodyear retailer for mail-in form and complete details. Certain restrictions apply. Goodyear credit card purchases subject to credit approval. All trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
Pump four is on. Go ahead and fill.
Don't get conservative on your summer travel plans because of high gas prices. Just get a Garmin and make every trip more efficient. Garmin's portable navigators put a world of maps and travel info at your fingertips. Tap the screen to look up restaurants, hotels, and attractions, and get voice-prompted directions.
Turn right on Broadway.
Some Garmin navigators even list gas prices and can route you to the station with the cheapest fill-up. Garmin, don't just get there, arrive.
The Great Barrier Reef is one of Australia's main tourist attractions, but like many reefs in the Pacific, there's less of it than there used to be. CBS News correspondent Harley Carnes has the story.
Coral reefs are down 20% in the past two decades alone, from Sumatra to French Polynesia, for example.
We found that the loss in the Pacific began earlier and is far more rapid and extensive than we had originally anticipated.
That's University of North Carolina researcher Elizabeth Selig. She blames poor ocean management and perhaps some of the global warming. Says a devastating 60% of the world's corals may be lost by 2030. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
A brown bear named Willie, who escaped from a zoo in Ontario, Canada, has been brought down with a tranquilizer dart and returned to captivity. But authorities in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, are still looking for a kangaroo. Several people say they've seen it hopping along U.S. 90. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Yeah, Dave, Ted here. Hey, tomorrow at 522, a forklift is going to smash right into our conveyor system. Really bust it up good, okay? You should be getting a call about 523. Just wanted to give you a heads up. Thanks.
In your job, you don't get warnings, so Grainger's just added a massive amount of material handling products to help get you through whatever the day brings. We're adding products and removing problems, from casters and wheels to carts and conveyors. We have what you need to move, handle, and store just about anything. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Grainger.com. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Everyone's racing to participating Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships during Pit Stop Savings Day. Right now, make a pit stop to buy four Michelin or BF Goodrich tires, and you'll get a $50 gas card on us. Get our team of experts on your side. Hurry into your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Pit Stop Savings Days end soon.
Good job, guys.
Call 1-877-310-3673 for details, or see participating dealer before 9:30 07.
Yeah, a little pause for effect there. All right, you're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC, 1240 AM, Talk City. And as you know, I believe, and plus I don't think much, there's not much mainstream media covering this case, but it's so, so important. And this is the U.S. versus Dr. Molly Fry and Dale Shaver. Is that
hello,
how it reads?
Hello.
There they are. Molly is a physician, Dale is a lawyer, and their lawyer, or actually Molly's lawyer, Lawrence Lichter, is with us. So nice to finally meet you.
Very nice to meet you
yes,
as well.
Yes, nice to meet you, too. We're delighted. Well, and this is day, what was day three? Day three, day four?
No.
I've lost
five.
Count.
Five. Day five.
Oh, this is day five. That's right. It is day five. Oh, my goodness. And, of course, let me just for the record out there, so to speak, Molly, Dr. Fry, and her husband have been charged with, well, Molly has been prescribing medicinal marijuana, which she thought she could do under Proposition 215. The federal government...
She's a manufacturer, too, you know.
She's a manufacturer. The federal government doesn't like that idea. The federal government thinks that because marijuana is a fungible commodity, which can cross state lines, that it is something that falls under Commerce Clause purview, and therefore they can determine... You know, you can't have this, or that doctors shouldn't be prescribing it. And they can make examples. They can pick and choose who they want to make examples of. And you guys, by God, they were manufacturing, Lawrence. Did you hear that? They were they had a lab. They were making a plant.
You talk about methamphetamine
Two
nights. This town's going to blow up, but
yeah.
not from anything Dr. Fry does.
Absolutely not, no.
And doctors are in a special place under the law because the Ninth Circuit has upheld the injunction against the federal government for interfering with the doctor-patient relationship,
and
even if the doctor
point,
knows.
Yes.
Oh, yes, Conant versus Walters,
mm-hmm.
Conant versus McCafferty.
Mm-hmm.
These are the drug czars,
mm-hmm.
McCafferty and Walters.
Yeah.
And doctors like Molly are free to verbally approve, as all you need in California. It's not quite over-the-counter, but
yes.
What else is verbally approvable?
Yes.
All the way to written recommend, which Molly
yes.
does as a safe practice,
yes.
marijuana, even if they know. Even if they know that this will lead to a violation of some kind of federal law, which at the time was still up in the air and turning back and forth. And
so is Judge Damrell allowing you to cite the Conant case, or is the issue here beyond that because she did more than prescribe, but actually they're saying she provided, instead of making her patients go to the drug dealers?
Well, he's going to leave that to the jury. He's going to tell them what the doctors can do under the law, and then the jury will decide whether the line she crossed was into a criminal sphere of conspiracy, or whether it's not fair that she be prosecuted when her motives are so good and the law was
going
clear.
And the jury can decide that even if the judge tells them, if you find that they violated this law, you have to do so and so. They don't have to, in the sense that juries should obey the judges. They certainly shouldn't listen to this program. They should obey the judge when the judge tells them, don't watch television, don't read newspapers, don't listen to the radio, don't talk to your spouse, pillow talk at night, don't even talk to your dog about this case. They should do that. And I trust that juries listen to judges. I think judges can be very persuasive in that matter, and you should take it very seriously. That does not, however, take away their ultimate discretion, their ability to weigh and sift through the evidence and figure out really what's right.
Oh, I'm sure I'll hear you quoted by the prosecution tomorrow.
Yes.
But you should say that you should have some feeling for judges, especially in the medical marijuana situation. Right in this district, there's a split where one judge, a senior judge, the most senior judge here, has ruled in a case that...
Is that the Judge Carlton?
Yes, Judge Carlton.
How did I know?
I didn't want to mention names.
Mm-hmm.
But,
he's a very compassionate guy.
Yeah, I wish he was Chief Justice of the Supreme Court myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'd have a better country.
Mm-hmm.
But he's already ruled that that everybody who acted before Race versus Ashcroft was decided 6-3 last year, and these guys are only charged after that decision,
mm-hmm.
Didn't have fair notice that there was a crime being committed, and it should have the jury decide whether they're following California law. If they did, complete defense.
So Judge Carlton, if he were presiding over this case, would probably say you can say medicinal marijuana, you can say Prop 215, you could bring that in as part of the deliberation.
Well, I suspect that
the prosecution
would be claiming that Dale and Molly didn't follow the California marijuana policy program, which in fact they did, because California law has gotten more and more progressive as the feds have gone from prosecuting doctors and patients and dispensaries for regular drug crimes to get this in Bakersfield. I think Tony mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
Continuing criminal enterprise, 10-20 to life.
Oh,
this
please.
Is like the middle ages.
Well, you know, they hate us for our freedoms. Did you know that, Lawrence? But except we probably don't have so many anymore. Okay, today in court, Molly and Dale, you walked in, and it's not. Is it hotter out there? You both looked a little drained to me. And I know you pretty well, and you look, it is tiring. You got one more day tomorrow. Is that a full day tomorrow or half?
Full day of witnesses tomorrow, yeah.
Okay, and this is the government's case. You'll have your chance to present your witnesses later.
Next week, yeah.
But what did they bring in today that was just like a whole bunch of witnesses or the same two snitches that were on the first couple of days?
One of the worst things that hurt me, I mean, just in terms of no good act goes unpunished, and they had Mike Harvey in again. And, you know, Mike just persisted with, they asked him, why do you hate Dr. Fry so much? I mean, she took you in, she fed you, she
gave you Christmas dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, presents, dinner with the family many times.
He goes, oh, well, we just don't get along. And, the truth is, and then it came out in the tape today, this afternoon, they played a NARC tape where they had someone in my office and was snitching on me. And I just sat there and said, I tried to give this guy a job to do this, and he couldn't do it, and then this, and this, and this, and, you know, he was just incompetent in every possible way. And finally, the ultimate thing was he destroyed my entire marijuana crop.
And you're talking about Mike Harvey, not about
Mike Harvey, yeah.
Because it's not clear on the tape.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I think maybe one of the problems Lawrence may be with Molly is that she just speaks the truth. She just says what comes from her heart. She is somebody who's a cancer survivor. She had a double mastectomy, and marijuana helped her. She thinks it helps her patients. And she'll just tell you that. She won't hide it and be coy and political about it. She'll just speak the truth.
Just remember what Cicero said.
What?
Where the law speaks, ethics are moot.
Yeah, okay, Hey, Dale, you look a little worn today. You look a little pooped out.
You?
And, of course, you're driving all that distance to get home and then come
five
back.
In the morning up, you know.
Yeah. So what about today? Who else was on the stand?
We had another guy come in today that said I sold him 40 little plants, they call them clones, to start his own little co-op.
Send in the clones.
Yeah, and he says that he was going to sell it for us, for our patients at some amount. And, of course, this is complete bovine scatology, but it's hard to sit there and listen to people continue to say these things about you, and you want to say something
back. You want to stand up and say, liar!
Yeah, well, you do, but yeah. You can't do that. And I'm constantly grabbing Molly and saying, you know, we'll get our chance. We'll get
to Tony Sarah can do that.
Yeah, well, Tony will do the chat.
And the thing is, you know, like with the clones, and they go...
What is a clone exactly? I don't know.
It's a cut piece of plant that they put in a rooting hormone, and they put
it in
little
rootlets.
And it starts to make little roots.
Okay.
It's like rooting a plant.
So it's a little teeny-weeny thing. Sure, can I have a cutting of a geranium? All right.
Yes, exactly.
Cutting of a plant.
Anyway, and so, he sits there and he goes, they invited me to breakfast. We had a brunch. This is why I know it was a Sunday when I was there, and there was some other people there. Paul Maggie, the other snitch, was there, and they were so friendly, and they fed us, and they took care of us, and then they went into an upstairs recreational room. Well, we don't have an upstairs recreational room, so
it's
he's lying
bedroom.
Right there. There's no way I let those people in my bedroom. I'm sorry, Dale. I know how I felt. I was sick, and I did not let them in our bedroom. And we didn't have that conversation, whatever conversation he said we had, because it just wouldn't happen the way the house is laid out. There's so many other nice places in the house to sit.
So you know it's not true, and you're sitting there going,
and just physically not true. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just physically impossible. All the bedrooms are upstairs, and all the living space is downstairs. And anyway, and then he said that he looked in a bunker, and this bunker is like
an 8 by 11
closet. And he said he saw 20 to 50 plants in there. Now, how can you get 20 to 50? How can you have a range of 30, you know, a range of 30 plants? And did you count them? Well, no, I didn't count them. I just know that there was 20 to 50.
Well, let me ask Lauren something about this. Do these people, the government witnesses, are they getting something in exchange for their testimony? Is there any way to determine that? In other words, are these people with criminal matters pending before the Department of Justice who are maybe getting special treatment for their testimony? Why are people snitches? I don't understand that.
Well, we've had our first witness today that didn't claim to be suffering from back spasms as they sat there on the stand.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these people, some of them were really sick, that they called the main snitch.
Mm-hmm.
And he said betrayer of trust is what he is. He was in a terrible motorcycle wreck. He had his back broken and 7 vertebrae, had it broken again 10 years later,
mm-hmm.
and knew from life experience that marijuana was the only thing that gave him pain relief without fucking up the rest,
Yes.
The rest of his experience.
Uh-huh.
I shouldn't be on the radio.
No, it's okay. So, but I mean, why are they...
I don't do that in court, do I?
No, you better not. All right, so now what happens, why are they testifying against Molly and Dale? What do they get from it, is my question.
So, for example, Mr. Maggie was arrested with a few other people with a giant grow, over a thousand plants.
So the government probably had a little conversation with him about his...
They went to everybody that he listed as members of his co-op, and they had all said that they didn't know him, they knew Molly and Dale, that apparently had stolen their recommendations and all that stuff before they left Molly and Dale. But he was a competitor who was facing a huge sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, he did a lot of time because he kept screwing up his probation.
Mm-hmm.
And he ran away to Arizona. He was a fugitive, had to be brought back in
cuffs.
And
does the jury get to hear some of this background on cross-examination? They do,
you
don't
think
they?
We don't? We wouldn't
I'm sure you
that
would.
Kind of fine?
Oh, yes. No. Yeah. And so when the jury, and you during cross-examination of these people, do you bring it out in cross-examination? Like, now tell me where you were and what you did here. They get to hear all this stuff. So you think the jury...
They get to hear what the judge will let us. For example, today one of their witnesses had burglary when he was 18, and then
judge
violated
not relevant.
Well, no, he first, the prosecutor yelled it was a juvenile thing, but
yeah.
I wouldn't be seeing it in the record if it was a sealed juvenile record.
Exactly.
And then after he bought from Molly and Dale, he went out and committed 3 robberies, 2 of which were reduced to grand theft, and he was put guilty to all of them.
So the jury
judge
heard
let
that.
Me impeach him
yes.
with that.
Yeah.
And, he's sitting up there as their witness.
Tired of commuting an hour or more every day so you can make money for somebody else? Would you like to build a successful home-based business? Let Tanya Simmons show you how. Attend the CyberWise Opportunity Rally on Saturday, August 25th at 1:30 p.m. The CyberWise Opportunity Rally will be held at the Valley Center Bowl in Salinas. Call John Gaines at 831-229-2546 to reserve your place at the CyberWise Opportunity Rally. Call John Gaines now at 229-2546. That number again is 229-2546.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
Terry MacArthur of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry MacArthur is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Now let's take a little traffic, give you the very latest. Start off the problem being reported right now. It's in Live Oak, SoCal Avenue at Rodeo Gulch. It's a minivan that hit a fence. Also, SoCal Avenue at Madison, we have an accident reported there, CHP on the scene. Watsonville construction work, northbound 1 on the Green Valley Road off-ramp. And apparently this off-ramp has been shut down. You can expect delays. We did get a cell phone call on this one earlier to tell us all the details. Also want to mention that we have a problem. Let's see, Salinas Highway 68 at River Road is a grass fire. It's actually burning under a bridge. Fire department unit should be on scene there. And the Santa Cruz Mountains, no problems reported, Highway 17. A support brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Napa Auto Parts can help your garage clean with thick, absorbent Scott shop towels. Now only $155 roll at Napa. Napa, get the good stuff. That's traffic on KRXA.
Hi, this is Doug Steffen inviting you to join me early mornings on Talk City, 1240 AM. Daniel in New Mexico, go ahead, please.
What do you go through before the program to talk about what you're going to talk about?
The plan is to follow the boss, and I'm the boss. Who's the next person, Richie? I don't see anyone. Fun with the issues and more. Early mornings before Stephanie Miller on Talk City, 1240 AM.
Come join us. Doug Steffen's good day.
You're listening to Sacramento's old, old.
Old. Freudian slip, Christine.
Freudian slip there for me. Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC.
Push in your upper.
See, because Lawrence asked me a question in the break. Lawrence Lichter, who is the lawyer for Dr. Molly Fry in this incredible physician marijuana case that's going on right now. And by the way, Lawrence, did you know that yesterday the FBI announced that it will now take agents who smoke pot?
The CIA agreed to that a long time ago because they couldn't find any intelligent people.
Right. So anyway, so this persecution, prosecution goes on and on. So you had your chance, Lawrence, today, and you will, of course, when you present your own case, which I believe that begins next week,
Maybe Wednesday.
Defense case, maybe Wednesday.
I'm scared now making predictions.
You don't want to make predictions.
We want to be prepared to have a witness Tuesday afternoon. And just in case they finish.
Yeah, because you never know. I mean, you know,
today they ran out of witnesses. We had to play a tape.
You're kidding.
No.
Okay.
No, and she felt guilty.
And we still left a half hour early.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And the judge is no longer concerned about a lot of things except for wasting the jury's time. And that always worries me because there are a lot of things I like to do that I think are important.
Right. And you don't want juries to sit there and kind of steam and waiting for things to happen.
And I don't want, and if the judge tells them what I'm doing is not important, then it isn't important, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, Lawrence was saying before the break that it was really hard to understand these various snitches, like
what their motivations are.
That's
you can understand some of the motivations for some of them, the ones that have criminal histories, et cetera.
Legal,
and we get that. But with this one guy who was one of the government's main witnesses here, it's hard to figure out.
Well, I think he's just got such bad brain damage from 30-year alcoholic, and he won't even admit he's in denial that he has alcoholism. And I think that he emotionally justified. I did tell him that if someone asked him, he should just tell the truth. Obviously, I didn't.
That was his mantra. Molly told me to tell the truth.
Yeah.
We like that, Molly.
Yeah,
that's
good.
We like that about you.
And he was very honest, but also embellished and made up things that were totally wrong because he's demented.
Now, were there some drug agents or a drug agent that came in?
One today. Okay. The chief agent in charge of this case name is Brian Keefe.
Isn't
that a joke?
Brian Keefe, the actor?
No, that would be
Keefe, like Keefe and marijuana Keefe?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean?
Pronounced like K-I-F-E.
Oh, good heavens. That is a foreign term for Marahuchi. It's Keefe, right?
Yeah.
No, it's a particular.
It's a special. Yeah, it's the best medicine for my husband.
It's the crystals that come off the plant. They heat them up and press them into bricks called hash.
Yeah, but when it's in the powdered form, it has no taste and no it's not hard on you.
I used to eat it every day.
Yeah, he ate almost a cup of it a day, and he got off morphine and got off methadone.
Well, I never used morphine.
Not morphine, but methadone and Oxycontin and all these heavy painkillers.
And you, because see, Dale, I just learned you have hemophilia.
I do, yes.
So this
I've had bleeds in basically every joint in my body, and the cartilage is all ruined in there now, so they hurt.
Yeah, it hurts.
Yeah,
it hurts.
So when he got his Keefe, he really did well, and Brian Keefe was right there to take it away.
So do you ever wonder sometimes about these drug agents, Lawrence, that maybe they feel, at some level, they feel some guilt from taking medicine away from sick people who get pain relief from it? You ever wonder, I mean, do you think they ever have a moment where they think, this is not a really good thing to be doing?
I'll give you my T-shirt that by law enforcement officers in favor of medical marijuana.
And there are plenty.
It's got a picture of a wheelchair and somebody hitting the guy
in it.
Yeah,
I have that in my office.
Yeah.
And so I think that they have individual opinions. They're sworn to uphold the law, and the interpretation of the law has to do with their local area. And some are more honest than others. You know, it's the continuing problem in America, having honest law enforcement. This guy goes to see Molly to get his recommendation, he swears under penalty of perjury everything he's told her is true. If you can't, if the penalty of perjury means nothing, then where is the
what
line going to be drawn?
Yes,
you know?
Where's your morality? And one wonders, I was talking about Chief Justice Roberts the other day, who was found famously a week or so ago in Maine having ashen and frothing at the mouth and having a seizure from some form of epilepsy, et cetera, which would be helped by marijuana. You also had a former Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, Justice Rehnquist, who had a heavy-duty Vicodin and Valium habit and was writing major court opinions at that time. So there's a huge disconnect between reality and the federal government going after doctors like Molly. It's just staggering. And people should care about it no matter where you are. And I would like to see more of the mainstream media. Any mainstream media, any of the television stations sending reporters today?
No. Only the first day, not today.
Not today. So they'll come on the last day maybe, and they'll sort of pretend like they covered the whole thing, but they probably won't, which is not too good. Anyway, I will pick this thread up on the other side of the news. You're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station. Let's take some calls. Also, if you want to talk to Lawrence Lichter, Molly, or Dale, you certainly can as they go through this court trial in federal court. not much fun, that's for sure. Their case in chief will begin perhaps sometime next week. The phone number, 877-766-1240. 877-766-1240. We'll be right back.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Yeah. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
We were looking for an inclusive community, so we joined a Unitarian Universalist church where we can really live our values.
Did you know the American Red Cross, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, and the SPCA were all founded by Unitarians or Universalists?
Imagine a denomination that walks its talk. When Martin Luther King Jr. appealed to clergy to join protesters at Selma, Alabama, more than one-third of the Unitarian Universalist parish ministers answered his call.
And Unitarian Universalists are still fighting for justice today. We're speaking up everywhere for marriage equality, for reproductive rights, for the environment, and for our civil liberties.
A denomination with progressive values makes a difference in today's world. Unitarian Universalists. Come visit our church on the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajita Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website, uucmp.org, or call 624-7404.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
The Sacramento News and Review. You're listening to the Christine Kraft Show.
I guess that's me, isn't it? Yes, we're back. You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC, and our guest will be with us tomorrow, but not on Friday because you don't have court on Friday,
thank
right?
Thank God.
Yes, and not that I'm sick of seeing you both, but I really, I'm not at all, but I want to hear the brutal details of all of this, and clearly I have a biased point of view. I think that we need some jurors to say, this is just really wrong, not guilty, and let's, you know.
Well, I'm hoping that, you know, they're seeing the truth that either we're Californians and we're free, or we're going to submit to the government and, you know, they'll put Prozac in the water and we'll all become autotons or something.
Frontal lobotomies.
Now, what's it like, Lawrence, as you, and I know it is because I was a plaintiff once in federal court and I've done some things as a lawyer as well. You never really know what a jury's thinking and you'd be a fool to think you know. But when, you know, whether it's the prosecution or the defense attorney, and they're delivering their arguments, and I don't just mean closing, opening statements and closing arguments, but generally in the give and take of things in the courtroom, you can't help but sort of check out how the jury's reacting. And I'm not asking you so much specifically about this jury, but in all the years you practiced, have you developed any way to kind of keep yourself from sort of wondering what it is they're thinking or how they're reacting? How do you take the measure of a jury before they come back?
Everything is about them, Christine.
It is.
They're the deciders, as the president calls
right.
himself. You know, the judge is the referee, but they're the deciders.
Yeah.
And so we're constantly wondering what's going on in their minds. And we remind Dale and Molly and everybody else that when they're in the bathroom with the jury, they're on trial. When they're parking their car, they're on trial.
Yeah,
when they're sitting
the
in the courtroom, they're on trial. That they're going to look over at them when somebody's saying something horrible about them or saying something wonderful about them.
Yeah.
And we don't know what, we can't read their minds. And I've talked to the oldest, most experienced lawyers, Charlie Gary and Tony Serra, although he forgets this. He's usually wrong about who the best juror is.
Isn't that funny?
You know?
Yeah. Some of the best lawyers are, that one was
no,
on our side, and then they're
everybody
wrong.
Who does it seems to have that problem.
Yes.
When you pick them, you know, you do your best, and that's the day that you really think about it the most. Otherwise, you just treat everybody with respect and hope that they're open-minded or that they'll fight for you or whatever it is. And I've tried cases with Tony in Florida and Hawaii and Texas. Wherever you go, there's a lot of similarities to human beings if you can try to reach them emotionally. And
sometimes a juror who shows absolutely no emotion that you can detect throughout an entire, even a long trial, and you go, we probably lost that one, you're pretty sure. And then they come out to be the one person who gets it gets it, and you just do not know. And or in the converse, somebody who's always smiling, maybe going, ooh, yes, acting as if they're really responding to a question you've asked.
I could just wait till you get you that night, you know?
Exactly.
That could be the worst.
Exactly. And then they turn out to be the one that, you know, so it's
hoses you, yes.
Yes. And of course, for the two of you, the defendants, with your family, you've got your boys, you've got your girls in the courtroom, et cetera. Your kids are here for you, and you know that this is tough on them as well.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, oh, my God, I have this twitch, and I really would like to scratch my nose right now, but I probably shouldn't do it because the jury might be watching. You're kind of aware that you're being watched.
But you're human.
My whole eye started twitching the other day, and I just could not stop it from twitching.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not doing it today, so I don't know what it was about yesterday that I just couldn't control myself, but it just was spasming all the time.
Yes.
And, you know, I think this kind of thing is you just sit there, and I hold my rosary beads, and I pray to God all the time that this is going to be resolved in a positive way.
How about you, Dale? You're a lawyer. You know some of this stuff, but it's still when you're the one who's the defendant.
No, I'd rather be trying the case because no matter what happens, then it's not going to happen to you.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's hard to read juries because sometimes they smile, sometimes they frown. And you're just wondering what in the world is going through your mind.
And it doesn't help you because you could guess anything, and it's probably wrong. You don't know.
When I've tried cases, I've uniformly been wrong. When you try to see who's going to be the four person, you try to guess that.
Yeah, who's got the most
power there.
You're always
wrong. I'm always wrong about who's going to be and who's going to carry the lead back there. And sometimes you don't know till you get the jury out and they give their verdict and you say, okay, what did you always ask?
And if they decide to talk to you afterwards, yeah.
What were you mad about? What was your...
Yes, that's always very instructive.
And, oh, my God, sometimes they tell you the things that you just, my God, I didn't know.
I never thought of that, right.
No.
And I'm sure that's happening now, too, and some of it in favor, some of it in your favor, and maybe some of it not.
We hope
and
so.
Let's, also the judge has tremendous control over what's going to happen to us. I mean, he has the ability to say, okay, well, yeah, we found him guilty, but there was, you know, maybe there wasn't 100 plants. The jury finds us guilty of the conspiracy. I don't know how it works, how they're going to write
the instructions. The jury finds on the 100 plants or not. That's
right,
the jury
if
issue.
They find under 100 plants, then the judge has the right to just say, let's put him on probation. You know, and he, and the thing is...
He could be merciful or not.
The rights if you, I think he has the right if you have more than 100 plants, too, but...
Yeah, he has the right to be merciful, and that's my prayer, is that the judge will be merciful, that the prosecution will realize that there is more to us than this trumped-up charge that we really were trying to
I wouldn't
to
count on that one. Hey,
well, we were trying to enact.
Yes.
So let's take a call.
I know, that's right. Let's take a call. Let's go to Dave in the surprisingly named Garden Valley in El Dorado County.
This is Big Dave.
This is Big Dave on one. Yeah. Hey, Dave.
Dave, get on the phone.
I know, Dale Mully personally.
Dave's not here.
That's right. I'm back home now. What a drive. I ran into traffic. Surprised me.
I'm sorry.
Can you hear me?
I hear you, Dave.
Yeah. You know, first off, I'd like to, another comment came while I was sitting here. That sign that Molly's got up there with the wheelchair and the cop beating hell out of the guy, it ought to have a logo behind it that says, what would Jesus say? You know,
yeah, really.
What a fantastic T-shirt that would be. Mention it to Bobby. Then the second thing is I wanted to apologize from the people of America the way this federal judge is treating Mr. Lichter. This is heinous. I sat there. The jury can hardly not get this man's posturing the pastor gets up there, she gets up there, and she walks up there, and it's all smiles and giggles. When Tony Sarah gets up there, and no offense meant to the esteemed Tony, he likes Tony Sarah in his presentation. But the instant Mr. Lichter goes to put his hands on the table to stand up, that judge gets an undignified look about his face.
Okay, Dave, thanks for the call, because I want to ask Lawrence about that. Is Dave right?
I don't
think that's the case.
I think that's how the judge was to Tony when he first met him, too.
Yeah.
And, I think the judge is trying to be fair and let me ask my questions. And today,
you don't feel that you're being singled out as the judge's
It gets
cousin.
Better every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's because we're all learning about the experience and what's expected under the
rules. That's
right.
And each judge is different, too, in the way that with things they emphasize and the things that they don't.
But thank you, Big Dave. I like sympathy.
Thank you, Dave. Let's move on to Rick in Elk Grove on line two. Hey, Rick, you're
Dr.
on Talk
Fry.
City.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Dr. Fry. Hi, Christine.
Hi,
hey.
Rick.
Hey, my comments were more directed towards Dr. Fry. And, you know, I just hope that I had betrayal happen to me, and I lost a 20-year career, my complete financial security, and everything around it. But the thing that probably mattered most is that it hardened my heart, I've noticed, and I'm not as compassionate as I used to be. And I hope something like that doesn't happen to you, because we just don't have enough doctors that do like you do, or this might scare other doctors. And
yeah, isn't it designed to scare other doctors, Lawrence? I mean, isn't that part of this? They want other doctors to get this could happen to you if you go too far in being compassionate.
It's hard to see the deterrent value in prosecuting Dr. Molly Fry, this all happened between 1999 and 2001. The medical board hadn't even really worked out its procedures then on how often you needed to renew a medical recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
They were still floundering around.
Yeah.
So although you're probably right that somebody wants to scare a doctor, this isn't the way to
doesn't
do
make
it.
Doesn't sense, really.
And, you know, it's really funny because when you say that, you made me cry because
Molly's
I am
crying.
Afraid. I am afraid that it'll harden my heart.
Hang in there. Let's move on to Walter and Carmichael, line three. Hey, Walter, you're on Talk City with Molly and Dale and Lawrence.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi. Hello to both of you. I'm listening with interest to your what you said. I read something that might have been related in the World News, a magazine, the Time magazine. They were saying that there are like 400 marijuana shops in California. And it seems like it's getting to be a big thing. And I was thinking that maybe the Bush administration, which has a history of working with big businesses, is trying to work with the pharmaceutical companies to shut this down.
To squelch compassionate use facilities.
They're in the pocket of big business. They don't work with them.
Well, when Bush ran, he did say that this should be left to the states. It's just the Republican Party.
Was he asked the question about marijuana and said it should be left to the states?
He never lies, does he?
Oh. Thank you very much, Walter.
And Cheney's not a good shot either.
Now I want to ask something else here. Okay, Molly Fry, defense attorneys have a decision to make whether or not they're going to put their clients on the stand. Do you know yet? And very often you may think, well, maybe no, maybe yes. And as the trial progresses, you kind of reassess that and you can sort of change your view on that. Lawrence, what's your, because look how emotional she is. She is such an open book. That's the thing about Molly. It's the first thing I noticed about her. There's just no, can I say BS on the radio? None of that. She's just an open book. And sometimes, I mean, that's wonderful that we would find people like that. But sometimes in the trial court with all of this, you don't know who's thinking what when they're staring and whatever. And they may think, they went, oh, no, she's crying. You don't know. How do you make that in any case, and specifically in this one, if you could speak to that?
Well, first is the law, Christine, because you're a lawyer. So mm-hmm. you're probably not taught that that's the one decision that the defendant can make over their own lawyer's objection at trial. They have the
they
right to
insist.
Testify,
yes.
But their lawyer says you don't need to testify, and that's, of course, the old thing. I want to testify. No, no, you don't need to.
Please, listen to me. Yeah.
But, you know, this is a case that I've always felt was Molly's.
Mm-hmm.
She was offered no jail at all, threatening to indict her daughter, but she just didn't feel she'd done anything wrong, and she felt like she would be lying if she admitted she did something wrong.
Right.
So I've always felt that she should testify. However, as a lawyer, it's the toughest decision of the case.
Very hard.
And it can't come until the end.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to answer you. I assume she's going to testify, but maybe I can talk her out of it if that's appropriate at the
right.
time.
Right, yeah.
I don't know.
And you just, and it really is, and you prepare each day for trial. I know you're here most of the week and then go back to San Francisco, but each day you're weighing and balancing some of the really the hardest part and probably one of the most interesting parts of being a trial lawyer is making that decision.
You live with a file that's, 4,000 pages, but you really don't know what's going on until you look at the witnesses, and there's always surprises, both bad and good for your side.
Yeah.
Whenever you go there and look people in the eye, and there's nothing like a trial. There's no drama like it. There's no movie like it. There's somebody, there are these wonderful lawyer and doctor's lives are at stake here for a cause. It's,
I just can't imagine them.
All the patients out there.
I can't imagine her not being able to practice medicine anymore, or Dale similarly with having to go to federal prison and not being able to. I mean, how would this affect your law license? I mean, that would be it, right?
Probably be taken away, yeah.
Yeah, we'll lose our life. Everything is at stake in this situation. And I don't focus on that. I focus on the purpose that I did this. That's right. And I'm doing this out of my heart, and I'm doing this because it's right.
Yeah.
And I think that I can get it together, and I think that I'm going to be able to testify, but we're not going to make that decision until we see all the witnesses and how it's all coming down.
Yes, nor should you, really. I mean, that's if you were to say, oh, absolutely, this is the way we're going to do it, and then not pay attention to what actually happens day in and day out in the trial court, that would be a foolish decision.
Yeah,
and as you know, he can't see it from the jury's point of view. It's hard.
Yeah, exactly.
It's 15 minutes.
Oh, I'm not quite ready yet. Hold on.
Oh, yes, Mother. Yes, Mother.
More phone calls. Anybody want to talk to Molly or to Lawrence Lichter? This is your opportunity. He's a great trial lawyer, very well known. Also, Dale Schaefer on this question of medicinal marijuana and the federal government's insistence on going after folks. This is your opportunity. 877-766-1240. I'm sure this is not an issue in Monterey, Eureka, or any place in Oregon. Yeah, right.
Am
Stay
I allowed
tuned.
To ask Dale a question?
No, hold on.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Welcome to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
Hey everybody, let's take a look at the latest. We want to start off with a problem being reported. It is in, we're going to cruise right on over to beautiful Salinas, Highway 68 at River Road. Grass fire still burning under the bridge. Now, apparently, they say this fire department is on scene, which is great news, and so it's causing a bit of smoke in the area on the roadway there. So we also want to take a look at another problem. It happens to be in Gilroy, Watsonville Road at Day Road. Injury crash there. Two vehicles that collided head-on have been actually cleared, which is good news. But nevertheless, emergency crews still on the scene attending to the situation. Highway 17 looking good. No problems to report there. And northbound 1 at Emmeline. The off-ramp closed until the summer of 2008. This report brought to you by the folks at McDonald's. That's traffic at KRXA.
331-1210. That's the Bev Smith Show. Weeknights from 9 to 10 on Sacramento's first progressive talk station. 1240 Talk City, KSAC.
Three little birds sat on my window
and said you may take marijuana for your illness and to feel better. Sure. You think? You are listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM, a Talk City. I wonder, and if you're somebody in Monterey or Oregon, have there been prosecutions of doctors where you live? We'd love to hear about it. Phone number 877-766-1240, 877-766-1240. So what's up tomorrow, Lawrence? What will be on the agenda? Do you have any idea tomorrow? What's more government witnesses. Are
more
they finished?
Witnesses.
They have more witnesses. And did they finish today with the ones that were you able to finish cross-examination of the ones they brought so far? Or there's some that are still holding over for tomorrow?
There's still some holding over for tomorrow and probably for next week.
Has the government been good in giving you the information on their witnesses in advance? Have they done a good job of following their responsibilities?
Well, they gave us a witness list on the eve of trial, and that's nice. And we would do the same for them if we had a clue of
yeah,
our witnesses.
Exactly. So
I got a 4-inch stack of documents the first day of trial.
Yeah, they're playing hide the ball.
But they do let us know who's going to testify the next day, and that's critical for us. Or we'd have to say, Judge, we can't go there because we have to read this first.
Yes, and so that means you're up late at night then and reading and going through everything so to prepare yourselves to do the best job that you can.
Can't be too late. You have to be alert.
Exactly. You've got to be alert the next day. So there is a lot of coffee in the trial lawyer's life. How do you stay awake?
In the old days, it was alcohol.
You
know, Tony's heroes, when he was young, were all alcohol.
Hoosers, right.
And every afternoon when they were in court, they were loose and not afraid to fight because they were too drunk to know better.
And see, a lot of people think that when trial is over for the day, and I'm not so sure if this is so much in federal court because those are lifetime appointments, and federal judges sort of sometimes think that they're next to gods. You know, I mean, I appreciate it. It's a lifetime appointment. But say in superior court, very often people say, and those lawyers, they're fighting with each other in court, and they're fighting with the judge, and then they go out afterwards and they share a drink.
Of course. The smaller the town, the more likely. But it happens in the big city, too.
Yeah, exactly.
They're all human, you know.
Let's take some more calls. Okay. Oh, sorry. Dave called before, so you only get, you know, one time. Actually, we're going to set up a new rule here. You only get to come on once a week, okay?
Oh, but Dave's our buddy. We know Dave.
We love Dave.
So we take talk to Dave?
At least he can hear
that. No, she have told him no already because we have a rule. Sorry, there's rules, Dave.
Oh, darn it, Dave. We'll talk to you tomorrow in court.
Yeah, we'll see you soon.
Oh, gosh. Do you ever think of, because, you mean, so much is on the line for you, what would happen to your property if you're found guilty and you're sentenced to prison and all this? What happens to your kids? You've got kids who are still at home. You've got two that are already out of the nest.
It's impossible to understand, but Tony gave me a little glimmer of hope. He did say that since they haven't made made a claim on our house, that possibly they're not going to claim our house, and I have some money saved that I'll be able to make the payments. I have a 31-year-old.
You have a mortgage.
And I can make the mortgage. And I have a 31-year-old and I have a 30-year-old. And my son, the 30-year-old, may need a home. And as a matter of fact, he's looking for somewhere. And he may come move in with my smaller children.
And take care of the kids.
And take care of the kids and hold down the fort for as long as the judge makes us stay in jail. But I'm just hoping that they'll realize it's stupid because Dale is so sick and requires so much medication. It would be a total waste of our taxpayers' funds to try to hospitalize this man because I'm a doctor and I take care of him and I give him
very
injections.
Personal care.
Yeah, very personal care. And if he falls and hurts himself, I have to ice him and take care of him and
he's
give him infusions. Yeah, he's a sick man and he doesn't belong in prison.
He's sick in the head.
He doesn't, and he doesn't look it at all.
No, he doesn't look as sick as he is.
Really
yeah, I didn't know. But
if he falls, my horse stepped on him once, and something that you and I would have gone,
careful there.
Yeah, and then shook it off and maybe limped for a day.
Had a bruise or two.
Yeah, maybe a bruise. Yeah, he was laid up totally for 6 weeks.
Internal bleeding.
And internal bleeding and having infusions constantly.
So how did you first meet these two, Lawrence? I mean, they came to you because how did you find Lawrence that licked her?
Nedra found me.
Lawrence's wife, lovely wife Nedra.
I love Nedra. She's fabulous.
I love Nedra, too.
I've never met Nedra, but she was the defense attorney in a case that I was very interested in. And really, the mainstream media decided to really target her, and that was a case in which a very telegenic young prosecutrix, what's her face? The one that's on Fox News now? What's her name?
Oh, don't be so hard on her.
Yes. But the former
mayor's wife.
The former mayor's wife, yes, was the opposing counsel.
His
and
own show on Fox.
And the former gay priest, Mr. Hammer. And
he's no hypocrite. He left hang out with a pedophile.
That's good. So, yes, exactly. But it was a very controversial case, and it was tried in Los Angeles. And I was on Nedra's side, and, of course, she couldn't really talk to me during that period of time, but I was a big fan of hers. You got good counsel. You got gutsy counsel. You got counsel that speaks truth much like you do. Okay, this is day, what do we say, day five?
Day five.
If you had to say right now how well things are going, you feel, you don't want to say you feel confident, but you feel that you're giving it your best shot.
We are, and we're holding our own. We're staying level with them, I think. We're not drowning. I mean, the jury's getting a lot of things that make us look bad, but I think we have our own story to tell, and the jury is not being buried right now. There's a lot of things coming out from these witnesses that I think make the jury hold their opinions until we get our chance.
And that's what the judge tells them to do, is to listen to the entire case.
Yes.
How do you sleep at night? Is it kind of difficult?
Well, besides my eyes closed, it's hard because we worry about the children. We worry about what's going to happen next. And then you worry about the next witness because I'm a trial lawyer, what they're going to say. Can you impeach them? What do they say in their debriefing and the grand jury?
So you're in there thinking like the trial lawyer thinks as well as how a defendant thinks.
I went through I set up Tony's trial box for him, and I went through every witness, and I gave commentary on what I thought they had said and how we could impeach them and cross-examine them, just like I would if I was preparing for my own stuff.
Detailed commentary.
And so I've gone through every piece of paper in this case, and I have it in my brain. It's swirling around. And so when I'm sitting there, I want to jump up and, you know, impeach them with the stuff because I know what it is. I pull documents out for both Tony and Larry when they need something. They go, what is that? I've been able to find
Mr. Maggie's declaration and the penalty of perjury should have gone in, don't you agree?
I believe so,
That was amazing that you got that, and the prosecution, you know, claimed to never have seen it. Had no bait stamp on any copy.
Well, they should have. We got it right out of their own file.
Okay, well, it's so nice meeting you, Lawrence. I'm a big fan of you and Tony. I really am. And it's a great pleasure to meet you both.
Thank you, Christine.
Now, listen. Come the day of closing arguments, you and Tony will each deliver closing arguments, right? You for Molly and Tony for Dale. That will have. If something happens, say you're driving here from San Francisco and there's a big thing, you know, you can't get to SEC, you just call me. I'll give you the cell number because I'm licensed to practice in that car. Because I feel very passionate about it. You need some backup, I'm here to help, okay?
I would just love to see you in that courtroom with Judge Damrell, who, by the way, loves the opera. I recommend you go.
Oh, good. I love the opera, too. See? All right, folks, you're listening to Sacramento's only progressive talk station, KSAC 1240 AM Talk City, the saga of Molly and Dale. There ought to be a song. Absolutely. Well, bye-bye. We'll keep track
Thank
of this. We'll talk to them again tomorrow, and then not
bye.
On Friday. We'll have other topics.
Thank you, Liberal Radio. Someplace.
All right. You're most Thank welcome. You. Aren't you glad we have it? We stay tuned. Yes. I'll be with you again tomorrow at 3 o'clock on the radio, all of Peter B's listeners as well. My pleasure to talk to you. See you then. Bye-bye.
To change the world, start.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Minor Ray area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
Hi, this is Hal, and you're listening to KRXA 540. Starting at 8.06 p.m., we're going to be doing some engineering work tonight. So we will be taking our signal down for a while. Check back with us periodically to see if we're back on the air. This should not take more than an hour, and you can always stream us at KRXA540.com. We apologize for any inconvenience. Thank you for listening to KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Crandall Canyon mine operator Bob Murray reports good progress today.
As of 2 hours ago, the 2.5-inch drill was down 875 feet into the earth. On its way to 1,500 feet.
That's where six coal miners are believed to have been trapped after the cave-in early Monday.
Hopefully, if everything goes as we have planned, with no interruptions, within 24 to 48 hours, we will intersect the target cavities.
Rob Moore is vice president of Murray Energy. A second, larger hole is also being drilled to send food and water down to the men if they're still alive. In Minneapolis, it's been a full week now since the collapse of the I-35 bridge over the Mississippi. Eight people are still missing. WCCO Radio's Adam Carter reports.
The agonizing wait continues for the families of the missing. Officials saying the remains of those unaccounted for are likely tangled in the bridge wreckage. Following a tour of the site, Secretary of the Navy Donald Winter admitted the task of recovery is extremely challenging.
It's going to take a bit while longer to go through all the steps that have been laid out to be able to complete the survey of the damage and be able to go through the various phases of recovery.
Winter says the experienced Navy salvage divers on site will remain here as long as needed. Adam Carter, CBS News, Minneapolis.
At the Kennedy Space Center.
For Barbara Morgan and her crewmates, class is in session.
NASA's Rob Navy is on the successful launch of Shuttle Endeavour, reviving the Teacher in Space program that was aborted with the loss of Shuttle Challenger more than 21 years ago. Teacher Barbara Morgan, now a full-fledged astronaut, was Krista McAuliffe's backup for that mission. Endeavour's main job is delivering more parts to the International Space Station, and CBS News correspondent Peter King says there's a schedule to keep.
NASA has to finish the International Space Station and retire the space shuttle by the end of September 2010. There are 12 more construction missions, and everything has to fall into place piece by piece for it all to work. So that's why it's important that this mission, and really the rest of them, all get off like clockwork.
The August heat wave across much of the country is setting records for power consumption, and it's claiming lives. At least four deaths are blamed on the high temperatures and humidity. Illinois had its first fatality today, as KMOX Radio's Kevin Killeen reports.
His relatives found the 70-year-old East St. Louis man in a home.